commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire...
Celsius Hockey.
Welcome to another Big Fake Radio Show. Joining me as always is new Larry, Kevin Jank.
Put your $5 ass down before I make change.
That was a pretty good line.
Yeah.
He was also holding a shotgun at the time, right? I believe.
Yep. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Sounds like something he'd do.
And that's a quote from the movie we're watching this evening, New Jack City from 1991.
Yeah. What a beauty.
Really?
Yeah, because I love this movie.
Oh, all right. Also joining us is the man who picked New Jack City, my personal attorney, spiritual advisor, Tubby.
Like, Tal, if you keep talking bad about this movie, I want to shoot you so bad my dick's hard.
I don't know. This, here's what I know about this film going in, is that when I tweeted a picture of it that we're watching it, Larry responded by saying 10 out of 10. And that, yep. Back then, he and his buddy Chris Jeffel both wanted to be Judd Nelson from this movie. They both had the goatees and the glasses and the hat. And I was like,
understand.
I know.
Not my favorite part of the movie by far.
So I went in thinking, oh, this movie's got to be pretty good. Yeah, well, we'll get to it. All right, so New Jack City. And then later, Tuffy, I watched two seasons of Taskmaster.
Oh, hey.
Now we're talking.
Two seasons. Each season, six episodes. So.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
British seasons.
Yeah. Yeah. British seasons.
Longer, a little later into the seasons, but, yeah.
Oh, wow. All right.
There, I think 10 episodes starting in season six, I want to say.
Oh. That'll really throw off those total points then, huh? And they're keeping track of points.
Yeah.
Like for records and whatnot. All right. Anyway. So we'll talk Taskmaster later.
I think the Taskmaster Hall of Fame is a sham.
Yeah, I think so. It needs to be an asterisk next to it.
You know, it's like when Babe Ruth had the home run record, that was like 50 games, and then Roger Maris is playing 162 or whatever.
I was wondering, Tuffy, because remember that one time I went to their website looking for episodes, and I think I saw their Hall of Fame, and I seem to recall vaguely that some lady had like 119 points or something, and maybe someone had 120, and I was like, wow, they were really cooking if it was only a six-episode season. Like, they were winning everything. So, this would make more sense. All right. Right before the show, Tuffy, when I Googled up the little page for Taskmaster, just so we can, know the names of the people involved, I realized for the first time that it is called Taskmaster, because I've been calling it Taskmasters, as I like to do.
You're going to school again on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
The grand tradition of Ink Masters. This show will now and forever be known as Taskmasters to me. Also, this evening, I don't know, that's probably about it. Tuffy watched some Letterkenny. We'll talk about that in a minute. Remember last week I said, hey, I'll get Miles Watson on the show. This week, I forgot.
Yeah, I asked him last night when we were doing flea market. He's like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that'll happen. You know, all the days blend together. And I just think, oh, forgot all about that. I did book Pat Piccarelli for next week. How about that?
Hey,
and
that's
he
pretty exciting.
And he wants to talk about the Black Liberation Army, who in like in the 70s were going around killing cops in New York City. And there's a made-for-TV movie made in the 70s, I believe, that it's on YouTube now that he found, called To Kill a Cop. So if you'd like to watch that. In preparation for next week.
Sounds like real uplifting, hope-filled movie.
To Kill a Cop. So, we'll do that next week. And then I got an email right before the show from one Brandon Damashek.
Oh, boy.
And he says he wants to, he goes, hey, you know, I did my best music of the year or whatever.
Ooh.
So if you want to do a podcast or whatever.
I think. You know, all booked up. I don't know if we can slot him in.
I mean, all right.
I mean, we'd love to, but
yeah, I just
chances of him showing up are not good.
Yeah, so I didn't write back to him yet, but I'll email him later. I still don't, like, we can't play sound clips, you know?
Yeah, that makes it tough.
Yeah.
Unless he wants to sing them all.
Well, what if I just played them on my phone and held them up to the microphone?
Yeah.
Will that work? Remember Mike Ellis trying to do that?
It. Yeah, yeah. That didn't work so well. Maybe you got better.
He just kept doing it. All right, anyway. So yep. That's a big show.
This time, I think you would have learned, but no.
Also, hey, this week I had to get my new driver's license photo.
Ooh.
Yeah. Now, what's it like? What's it like in the Illinois where you guys are? We have to go every 4 years here. Is that how it is for you?
Sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm due this December, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, you guys don't have to get your cars inspected or anything, so I have to, like, check to make sure.
I
know. All right. Yeah. But, yeah, it was my turn there to go get my driver's license. And, oh, hey, my birthday's tomorrow, too, by the way.
Ooh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you. So I expect lots of gifts.
Surprise birthday celebration plan.
Yeah. Again, all the days blend together. But the only reason I know it's my birthday is because my license was due. Like, I always have to do it, like, you know. So I had to go get my picture taken because my birthday is coming up. And
if you couldn't drive, you'd really just be screwed. Like, your life is spent on the road.
It was so weird just going out and burnt people.
Larry turning down an invitation, a real kick in the pants. It could have been your birthday episode with Larry.
That's right. Yeah, I told Larry, you know, we're watching New Jack City. You love it. You're welcome to come on the show. And he just said, no. Well, he tweeted me a picture of a Shockma, like, on a phone saying, new phone, who dis? And so I take that as he did not want to do the show. But who knows? That Larry. Maybe someday. But so I had to go get my license photo. And I don't know how you feel about this. Like, what's the operation like in your parts of the city there, Tuffy? Let's start with you. Is it a nice experience going to get your license?
No. I mean, it's not as bad as up by Jank, but it's not pleasant.
Jank? Is any...
No. Actually, I've been going to Orland the last couple times I've had to do it, and it's not bad at all there. Usually there's no line of any kind, really, so it's kind of
pretty good. Yeah, see, I think they said on the slip they sent, because you have to do the little photo card deal they send you in the mail, you got to sign. And I think that was a couple months ago. So I kept putting it off until my birthday, because I know my license expired, like, the 18th. My birthday's the 17th. So I'm like, oh, I guess I got to go this week. But I think they said the first week of the month is always busy or something. I don't know why. So I waited, and then I went in the middle of the week on a Wednesday. And it used to be, like, right in Greensburg we would have to go. So, you know, it's like 2 minutes from my house. But now we have to go to a place in Jeanette, which is 10 minutes away. So
oh, no. To you, that's like 60 minutes.
Yeah, really.
You can't find things.
Being like Virginia or something.
It's beyond the Giant Eagle barrier. Like, you know, there's Giant Eagle on Route 30, and I never go past that. But to get to
you
this.
You can't orientate yourself if it's not by the hospital.
But to get to the license place, I have to go at least 5 minutes beyond Giant Eagle. So, yeah, it's like going into the Wild West. But, yeah, so I went there. It's this huge, it's a really nice place. And as soon as you go in, there's a lady there right at the door. She says, hey, what are you here for? And I said, I'm here to get my license picture. She says, oh, here you go. And she gives me a number. She pushes a button. It's like Star Trek. And a little number pops out of the thing. And then she gives it to me. And my number is 227. Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Very nice.
And as soon as she gives it to me, like, there's just a bank of people on the right. And I think they're taking maybe their eye exams and stuff like that for the driver's test. It was okay. But then straight ahead, there's a bunch of, I guess, photo stations, so like maybe four or five of them. And there's a big clock on the wall, and it shows you what number is now serving. And then I hear an announcement, number 227. So I just walked straight in, didn't even stop, didn't even slow down, bang, right over there. And then the lady says, hey, take your photo and whatnot. So she takes my photo. And then they ask you if you want to try it again, you know?
Oh.
And
Do they do that every time, or was your first one like your?
No, they do it every time. They do it every time. So okay. If you like. Now, in the old days, when I was much more friendly, they would say, would you like to do it again? I said, yes. Do you have anything in an elderly Mexican gentleman? And that killed. It was always a very good joke to do at the DMV. Feel free to use it when you go.
Yeah.
But nowadays.
You can cancel for that nowadays, yeah.
Now I just said, yeah, that's fine. And she's like, yeah, you sure? And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Don't worry about it. No matter what it looks like, I don't give a fuck. No one's going to see my
no
license.
One will ever see it. Yeah.
So then she says, all right, go sit down there, you know, and in the lobby, and we'll call you when it's ready. So I go and sit in the lobby, and it's just a big, like, warehouse-like room, but they have so many chairs. There had to be, like, 300-400 chairs in this place, and they're very comfortable chairs for a DMV. They're, like, really cool. I'm like, oh,
like those reclining seats like the movie theater?
No, but they're just really nice chairs. I don't know. They got nice back support, curved in the lumbar region, and I was like, oh, these are nice.
So I'm waiting. Tax money's going.
It started getting a little more crowded when I was there. Like, there's probably like 5 or 6 other people suddenly in this big thing of chairs with me, and then she calls me up about 5 minutes later. She says, "Michael," she announces, and I go, "That's my name." I recognized it immediately, so I got up and I walked over there, and she says, "Oh, here you go," and she's like, "Here, guy, just sign by the X there." And I'm looking at this form, and I cannot see a fucking X anywhere. I'm staring at it. It's like, I don't know. I wasn't that bright. But I'm looking at this.
You're going to need that eye test, it turns out.
I know. Because I look down at the bottom, and I'm looking, like, usually when they say sign at the X, you look at the bottom of the sheet, you know? And I'm looking at these, I'm like, there's not an X there. There's not an X there. And then I'm looking up, there's all these signatures at the top. It's kind of like when you get, I don't know, like you're signing to register to vote or something. There's all these calling. I'm like, wait, where's the? And I'm just saying, I don't see an X. And she goes, oh, right there. And I'm like, oh, there it is. I feel real bright. Yeah.
That was you're mine. Learning your letters.
But speaking of the glasses thing, you know, I have noticed my eyes aren't what they used to be. Right.
Ooh.
Yeah. Especially like when my head's stuffy, like the weather, you know. Like, I feel it makes a difference. So, I was doing my taxes. I was doing, my mother's taxes. Cause, you know, she believes I can keep her out of prison.
Yeah, this fucking does it all.
So I was doing her taxes this week, and, I got them all ready. I sent them in, and like, 3 minutes later, she gets an email saying, oh, they turned them down. They didn't accept them. And I'm like, what? So
what?
I logged in, and they said, oh, you got the numbers here wrong under one thing here, you know? And she just has her, like, Social Security and her retirement and all that stuff. So I go in and I'm, oh, sure enough, I put one too many twos in there, you know? One too many twos.
Is it in the Social Security number? Because I've never heard of them actually auditing it that quickly to be like, hey, wait a minute, you entered the income wrong.
It was in the tax ID number for the place giving her the payment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but still, they found it real quick. Which
that's crazy.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, well, that's the problem. There was just one too many twos. So I failed to fix it up, resubmitted everything, sent it in. 3 minutes later, another email. It wasn't accepted. Like, what's happening? So I go in, and then they, sure enough, I found one of the other ones. It was because these numbers are very tiny when they're printing them on these forms, you know. And I thought it was a 169. It was like a 168. Or it was the other way around. Either way. And so, but then I finally got it right. But man, I might need to get glasses.
Yeah, Jesus.
Did you learn how to prepare taxes from Franklin? How big is your mom's refund?
Yeah. Discount for being white?
I'll visit her in prison. It'll be all right. I'll give her a block of tofu with a file in it. She can. So that was my week. It was a pretty busy week.
You're going to be shooting hockey. You're just going to be nailing kids walking by, thinking you got it right down between the pipes, but no.
But I mean, it was a pretty busy week. License photo and taxes. And what did I do today? Oh, I went grocery shopping today. Yeah.
Did you have to go to two grocery stores?
No, I just went to the one. I didn't bother with that other one because I'm like, I'm going to have to go to two if I go to that one.
That was so cursed.
I just went to the bigger one where there's more registers. And, it snowed here as well. Like outside right now, it's snowing.
Yeah, we got a little bit. Like it was spitting out some flakes earlier, but nothing really.
Spitting out some flakes.
Yeah. I got like 3 inches of snow today.
Holy hell.
Damn.
Yeah.
First time women in Illinois have ever seen 3 inches.
Taxes done this early too, Mike Dell.
Yeah, my mother always likes to do her taxes. I don't do my taxes till April 15th. Because I don't.
You're going to owe?
Yeah, I owe every year. Because I'm an independent freelance guy.
Yeah. So
I always owe money. And,
do you make estimates?
Do I make what?
Make estimates, like quarterly estimates?
I do not.
Oh, because, yeah, they're going to hit you with penalties for not doing
well, that. Well, it's not really. It's like $20. It's not really a big deal. Like they always say, you're going to get all these penalties.
I don't think paying $7 in taxes is not that grand.
Yeah. I'm like, well, I'd rather just not do my taxes 4 times a year and pay the extra $20 whenever it is, you know? But like if you say, hey, pay me $20, you don't have to do your taxes for 3 more months. Okay. I'm cool. Let's do that.
Yeah. Jank doing quarterly returns for you over there?
No,
you don't have to do a full return. It's like a coupon. You just mail it in.
That's a lot of work. They just sent me it today in the mail, like for like this year or whatever, my quarterly things. And I just get them. I just throw them away. I don't give a fuck. But we'll see. Yeah, I should really have you guys on the payroll. Jank to do my taxes and Tuffy to get me out of prison when they arrest me for my taxes. That'd be great.
Yep.
Triangle sex.
My taxes are done like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, I got mine right away.
Never do my taxes until the day or, well, I usually like to give a grace period of like maybe a day or two before, you know, the last day in case I pass out or something.
It takes a month for me to get my W-2 and then I just give that to my dad and go, here, you tell me what happens.
I do the W-2s at my place, so I get mine right away. I try to get them out like the first week.
Look at you. Because, you know, I could die between now and tax day, and if I do, I don't want to waste any moment of my life doing taxes. That's the way I look at things. It is what it is. All right, so Tuffy, this week you watched some Letterkenny?
Yeah. Season 12, I think.
Yeah, at least 12.
I think I've only seen up through 6, maybe. So.
Yeah, this one was fantastic.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, their last season, and they were on top of their game still, I'll tell you that.
Oh, so it's officially done?
Yeah, it's all over.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, Jake, we talked about this when you watched it, right? But I can't remember.
Yeah, so. I think they're continuing with Shoresy, and I think, you know, he's got, like, a deal with Crave TV or whatever for some other shows. They're going to keep him busy, but.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
So how does it end? Like, where do they leave off with everybody?
Well, during the season, Daryl becomes a D-gen.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I remember this. I remember Jackson.
Yeah.
Dark times.
Which ends with him rejoining the Hicks, and everyone's kind of back where they started at the beginning of the show, basically.
All right. I guess that's one way.
Yeah, they kind of kept teasing that a lot of things were going to change, but then ultimately they didn't. So.
All right. I like that.
Dan was going to go marry Lavina Dick and be a Mennonite, and Katie was going to move to Mexico, and I forget what everyone else was going to do, and because they kept talking about, I just feel stuck here. I feel stuck.
And Wayne, yeah, I've been feeling stuck for 20 years.
Wayne, who didn't feel stuck, and then by the end of the series, everyone's just right back where they were at the start of the show.
Rosie was moving to like Winnipeg or something, and she wanted Wayne to come with her, but he was like, I don't think so. So
no one moves to Winnipeag. That's not out.
Vancouver.
More yeah, like, that could,
yeah. Okay, yeah, Vancouver everyone loves, but no one wants to go to Winnipeg.
Yeah. Like, she's out there working at some dog rescue or something. But it works out for Wayne because some smoking hot photographer comes to take pictures of their farm magazine or something.
Oh, that Wayne.
He's got Wayne.
Although it seems like her big thing was, oh, she's stuck with this boyfriend who, like, is stuck in his hometown. So, like, I don't see her really working out with her and Wayne either.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Huh. What about hockey kids?
They didn't play a lot of hockey this season.
Yeah. Or anyway. Season, like, you know, they got to rescue Derry, so Wayne keeps calling everybody to go help. And they're like, you know, remember back when we used to all hate each other? Then at the end of the series, they pull up in the driveway, and I forget, they show up like they're all going to be friends with Wayne and Daryl sitting there. And then it's Wayne and Daryl just making fun of them over again.
Yeah, it's the perfect cycle. Yeah, cycle of life. That was nice.
I think they both kind of ended up with Katie again. Like, they kind of got back together.
Menage. Who else did I like on that? Oh, what about Bonnie McMurray?
Yeah.
Low usage. But yeah. She didn't do a whole lot.
Yeah.
What about the lady I liked? What was her name? Tannis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still just, you know, around Letterkenny every now and then, hanging out with people from the reservation.
All right. Fair enough.
I think her and, like, one of her friends were kind of, like, hassling the girl D-gens that were kind of luring in Derry and other stupid people. Yeah. So yeah. They were kind of, you know, kind of backing them up on that.
Yeah, I think the first episode, they have a comedy night at Mo Dean's, and there's one guy there who says Daryl's hilarious, and then he's like, oh, you got to meet my sister. She's great, and she's smoking hot like every other lady on the show.
Yeah.
So then Daryl goes to hang out with them, and it turns out that they're all friends with the D-gens, is how Derry gets mixed up with all that. And then they're kind of talking to him like, hey, do your friends make fun of you for wearing your barn clothes because you got manure all over your boots and stuff? Well, here, you just fit in. You're just another one of us.
That rascal jiving Pete was there.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is. All right. Well, there he is, Letterkenny.
Yeah.
Final
season, just as good as the first season.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Kind of came all the way full circle and was pretty satisfying by the end of it. Because Stuart, I think it kind of ends the last episode. Stuart's going to throw another rave down at the Ag Hall, kind of like he did in the first season. And, you know, he's kind of hoping it's going to go better. They put all this work into it. And then, like, nobody's there. When he gets on the stage and he's like, oh, and you can see he's totally crestfallen, but apparently he forgot to unlock the door.
Yeah, like there's one window in the wall opposite him, and you just see Wayne knock on the window and go, the door's locked, you dumbass.
Well, that's good. I like that. All right. So yeah, maybe I'll catch up on Letterkenny eventually. Seems unlikely, but you never know. All right. So, New Jack City.
Yeah.
1991. What a time to be alive. 1991.
Ah, I miss it. I'm going to go back to that time.
Well, I was seven, so I don't really know what was going on for me in 1991.
I was...
a lot of Crystal Pepsi.
Let's do math. I was 16 at the time. Pittsburgh Penguins were winning their first Stanley Cup. So that was exciting. And that's about all I got. So, yeah, neither one. But let's read the official description of New Jack City from the IMDb, as we like to do. Oh, wait, I opened it up on Taskmasters. Wait, I got to go to New Jack City. A crime lord ascends to power and becomes megalomaniacal while a maverick police detective vows to stop him.
Yeah, I guess that's accurate. Yeah.
And this movie was directed by Mario Van Peebles, and he also is one of the stars of the film. He plays like a police administrator, not a street guy. And it was written by Thomas Lee Wright and Barry Michael Cooper. Not familiar with their work. But Mario Van Peebles, from what I read on the IMDb trivia, this whoever was making this movie, whatever film company it was, I can't remember. They liked the movie, they wanted to make it, but they didn't want Mario Van Peebles to direct. And but Mario Van Peebles was buddies with Clint Eastwood because they had been in Heartbreak Ridge together. And Clint Eastwood called up the studio and he said, hey, give the kid a shot.
Ah, that's and nice of him.
Yeah, so Clint Eastwood is now responsible for Mary Van Peebles' directorial career because he went on to direct a bunch of stuff. He still does TV and everything. So, yeah, without Clint Eastwood, none of it happens.
Yeah, good old Clint.
Yep. I'm a big Clint Eastwood guy. We should do like a Clint Eastwood film festival on the LCS show. Just nothing but Clint Eastwood. The Summer of Eastwood. Something just did a lot of great movies. All right, then. So who else is in this film? It stars Wesley Snipes.
Yeah. God, I love Wesley Snipes.
He's that guy. Nino Brown. He's like the new up-and-coming drug king of New York City. Yeah, the title New Jack City. I guess a new jack is slang for a newcomer or a rookie or whatever, a new guy on the scene. So I guess he would be the new jack. It's his city. He's taking over the city as the new – he's New Jack City.
But it seems to be the official name of the city, right? Like, I guess this is a fictional
– No, I think they just call New York City New Jack City.
But even, like, the cops did it. Like, you need a new jack cop to do this. Like,
well, yeah, no. A new jack cop. A new guy on this – like, someone not from the old guard, you know? We need a new jack cop. Yeah. It's not like you look on a map and it says New Jack City. No. Just talk about it. Also,
I knew about this movie going in was the wrestler New Jack from ECW. Yes,
that's what I wanted to ask you. Remember New Jack? Yeah, he was a hardcore wrestler in ECW. He would come to the ring with like trash cans and shopping carts full of weapons, and he would just beat the hell out of people.
Yeah, he was also notorious for jumping off of really high places onto other people.
Yeah, and one time. They made like a Dark Side of the Ring, I think, about this. There was a show he was doing. I don't think this was an ECW show. I think it was some independent show he did. But some kid showed up at the wrestling thing, and he was a very large kid. He was only 17, but he was really big, big fat kid, you know? And he said he was a professional wrestler. And I guess there's some sequence of events that led to him getting in the ring with New Jack. And New Jack almost killed him because he like cut him with something and this kid almost bled out and it was a big thing. Yeah. So
I feel like New Jack would also use like a sickle in the ring, like a sharp little curved blade to cut people.
I don't even remember. He used a bunch of stuff, staple guns. He used he was pretty crazy.
That's what used to be so much cooler.
Also, the main cop in this film is Ice-T.
Yeah.
And he plays Scotty Appleton. No relation to Larry Appleton. Perfect Strangers thing. Now, that would be a TV show.
I know.
If instead of Balky, Ice-T shows up. And it's his cousin, Scotty Appleton, from New Jack City. And he's living with Larry. Yes.
That would be great.
I am not a fan of Ice-T. And this is one of his first acting roles, I guess, probably his first major role.
He's a new Jack.
And and I can say a lot of times when I turn on like WWE or NXT, like they'll be playing, the USA Network will still be playing like one of these.
Law and Orders.
Yeah, one of them deals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His acting has not improved in 4 years.
No, it is exactly the same as it was in 1991.
He's a terrible actor then, now, forever. Just like the WWE slogan. So
he's no Ice Cube.
Yeah, he's pretty rough. And apparently, again, from the IMDb trivia page, he was at a club, and he was in the bathroom, and I guess Mario Van Peebles was also in the bathroom, and they did not know each other, and Mario Van Peebles overheard Ice Cube. It sounds like Mario Van Peebles was, going too in a stall, and he overheard Ice-T say something, and they give the quote on IMDb. I don't have in front of me. It really wasn't even that good of a line, but he said something to a guy, made him sound tough or something. And Mario Van Peebles thought, oh, that guy, whoever said that's going to be the star of my movie. And he chased him down through the club, and that's how Ice-T got the part.
Wow.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Now that I did that story, I need to know the line now. I mean, it's We have to figure out what Ice-T said.
It's probably like we're out of paper towel.
Let's see.
It's so bad, my dick's hard. Is that the line?
Let's see. Man, there's a lot here. Well, I'll tell you this one.
You know, these hand dryers just spread disease.
Now I can't find it. Son of a bitch. I know I read this story somewhere, but, oh, wait, there it is. 40 more trivia bits. All right, there it is.
Oh, good.
Ice-T recounted in his autobiography that he was cast in the film by being in the right place at the right time. The place was a nightclub, and Mario Van Peebles was there that night. Mario said he overheard me talking shit in the bathroom, Ice-T wrote. I don't remember this exactly.
Oh, you're talking shit about Judd Nelson. Hope I never work with that Judd Nelson, fucker.
But apparently I was telling someone, quote, the problem is if they could put me under a microscope and find one molecule of me that gave a fuck, then there'd be a chance, end quote. That was the line. Van Peebles liked that what he heard, and he told someone that whoever said that is going to be the star of my next movie. He found Ice-T in the club, gave him his number, and convinced the rapper to contact him the next day. Who else is in this movie? Chris Rock plays Pookie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's great.
Is he?
I mean, in this role, I'd say he's pretty good.
No, I think he's great in general, but this movie, is he? I don't know. It's he's very young. You know, he's a...
Yeah. Yeah. Semi-serious movie in this, trying to do real acting.
Yeah, and that's the problem. That's the problem.
He's not his a bike real riding's maybe not the best, but he could have an iced tea on a bike. And
Pookie is a crack addict.
He does seem a bit like Dave Chappelle doing a crack addict.
And he says that for years after this film, when he'd go places, people would walk up to him and put drugs into his pockets. Because they thought New Jack City was a documentary. And they thought he really was a crack addict. So they would.
Did they not realize that he was alive?
Really, it was not that is true. That is true. I think they could have figured that part out.
To his chest when he's walking around.
But,
also, yeah. I don't know who like sees this movie and they're like, oh, yeah, that Pookie, he needs more drugs. That was where he went wrong, was getting off the drugs.
He could have used another turkey. They give him a turkey at some point in this film. We have Alan Payne plays G Money. He's Nino Brown's right hand man. I don't know. Do you know who this guy is? I have no idea who Alan Payne is. Is that anybody?
No, I mean, he looks vaguely familiar, but couldn't point out.
Then his other, Nino's other right hand man is Bill Nunn playing Duh Duh Dub Man. He stutters. This guy stutters. He kind of looks like
His picture on IMDb, I definitely know him from stuff.
Well, he looks like a black Jon Favreau.
He's in Spider-Man. He's
very much so. He's Robbie Robertson?
Like right-hand man, yeah.
Oh, really?
Well, there's so many totally Spider-Man movies. Which Spider-Man is he, Robbie Robertson?
Toby Spider-Man.
Okay.
Toby Maguire. Working at the Daily Planet or whatever it is in that universe. I can't remember right now.
Yeah, I remember that.
Then we have Judd Nelson as Nick Peretti.
That's right.
Good old Judd Nelson. I'm watching this movie, and it's like an hour and 40 minutes or so. And I'm like an hour into it, and I'm just thinking, why the fuck would Larry like Judd Nelson in this movie? He does nothing. Maybe the last half, he kind of does some things, but the first hour, so nothing.
Yeah, it's very much the Ice-T story, and Judd Nelson's just kind of there, doesn't say a whole lot, doesn't do a whole lot.
Except for the most ridiculous ending scene when...
He kills Da-Da-Da Man at the very end there, doesn't
he? Yeah, that is one of the dumbest scenes I've ever seen committed to film.
I was going to put that down as a great what the fuck moment, I thought.
That's so stupid. We have Michael Michelle plays Selena, and she's real good looking. She's like Nino Brown's real girlfriend, I guess. But you look at her picture on IMDb, holy hell, she's getting it done still. And then we have Vanessa Williams plays Keisha, but this is a Vanessa Williams, not the Vanessa Williams.
Oh.
Yeah. Because last week when you said Vanessa Williams, I said, hey, now. And now, because she was former Miss America or whatever, Vanessa Williams, you know. And, but no, this is just a Vanessa Williams.
Shouldn't she have to do like the Michael J. Fox and put an initial in there somewhere?
Yeah, you would think. And anyone else in this movie?
No.
I think that's about it. So
Bill Cobbs is the old man. Definitely seen him in other things.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what, but that guy did look familiar, though, yeah.
Oh, he was also in Demolition Man, another Wesley Snipes movie.
Wow.
Yeah, he's one of the cops.
I guess the budget for this movie is $8 million, and it grossed like $47 million. So.
Mike Dell, apparently there's a crossover between this and one of your other favorites, because he plays old man also in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so the same character, I guess.
Oh, wow. Wait a minute. How could he play? Because he's an old man in 1991. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was like 2000 and something, right? So he's still an old man.
2020. 29 years
old. Crap.
Man reappears.
30 years later, he's still an old man? How is that possible?
He's probably one of those guys like Robert Duvall where they've just always been old.
He was actually 25 in this role.
Yeah.
Holy hell. So, all right. That's
Earth was 1934, so he was not even 60 in New Jack City.
I'm almost as old as a new old man in New Jack City. What is happening?
Now you know what to ask for next time you go to the DMV. Do you have Bill Cobb's picture? Just give me that.
Like, holy fuck. How is that possible? I don't even want to do the math on that to figure that out. But all right, anyways. All right, where else we got? IMDb, this gets a 6.6 out of 10.
Yeah.
And, seems generous. And what else?
Fair?
This movie's terrible. All right.
Oh, this is great.
Culturally, this might be a cult movie for some people that maybe not for everybody.
I can understand in 1991 the cultural impact of this film. I'm sure it was cutting edge, but let's be honest here. Like, because Larry even said he hasn't seen it in 25 years. And yeah, if you go back, the writing and the acting here are pretty brutal. Wesley Snipes is great. I think he does a good job.
Yeah, he's killing it.
He is awesome.
Ice-T's awful.
He is this movie. Yeah.
Like, in terms of cultural impact, there's a rap record label called Cash Money Records that's based on the Cash Money Boys gang in this movie. That, like, Lil Wayne is on Cash Money Records, I know.
All right. Yeah, like, I could see why this movie would be popular in the day and why it would still be popular for, like, nostalgia reasons. But in terms of an actual movie, not the best. Not the best.
Yeah, no. I like this depiction of, like, New York City back then. Like, even in, like, the Turtles, Ninja Turtles movies. Like, it's just so weird and seedy and grimy, and I love it.
I'd say, too, there were times, more in the first half of the movie, because the second half, like, really goes off the rails, where I was debating, like, is this, like, a bad real movie, or is this a good bad movie?
That's a tough call. I think it's a bad real movie.
Yeah, it really takes it down the bad movie trail in great ways.
Because it had a normal budget, normal studio release, big name people, and, you know, so I think that right away it's has to go under the good movie scale, but it's just a bad version of a good movie. But
I think you're setting the bar a little too high.
I think so. All right, what was I going to say? Oh, this is actually based on a real story, though. The Chambers brothers in Detroit, Michigan, they ran a similar operation where they took over a apartment building and they just operated it like a drug corporation, and they produced drugs on different levels of the building. And other like normal people still lived in some of the apartments in the building, but they controlled everything. And mm-hmm. Yeah, so. That's pretty
cool.
Movie
Dread's a lot like that too, where like the mega city one is just kind of this giant apartment complex, and it's basically ruled by, you know, drug pushers.
Yeah, how about that? So, all right, where do we start here, Tuffy? How does this movie open up?
The Cash Money Boys, Nino, played by Wesley Snipes, and G Money are holding a guy over a bridge.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, I think it was Dada Man holding him, right?
Yeah, Dada Man is holding a guy, and Nino comes by.
Yeah, he's holding a white guy by his ankles over a bridge.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the money, and he doesn't have his stuff, so.
If you don't have the money, you got to have the stuff.
Yep.
That's just the way it is.
Basic drugs 101.
And yeah, so they just right in the broad daylight, the middle of traffic and everything, and
they're just gonna Gwen Stacy this guy.
Gwen Stacy, and so he just drops him. That's it. That's how the movie begins. So,
yep.
Welcome to New Jack City.
Now we got Chris Rock and Ice-T doing a drug deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pookie is, he's like, show me the money. And Ice-T is carrying a backpack full of, I believe he says, was it $13,000?
Something like that.
Yeah, 15, I think. Chris Rock wanted 17 or something like that.
Yeah, I think they were haggling about how much money. And so he shows Chris Rock the backpack there. He unzips it. There's all that money.
Wads of cash, yeah.
And Chris Rock punches him in the belly. Grabs the backpack and runs. Now,
He doesn't run. He takes his bike and he
ran for a little bit. Ran for a little bit. Yeah, and then he jumped on a bike.
Steals a kid's bike.
Now, Ice-T, if you're getting dropped by a punch in the stomach from Chris Rock, you might need to reevaluate some things.
Hey, I mean, Chris Rock can take a hit, so I don't know. Maybe he's got more stamina than we're giving him credit for.
But yes, he does go running and he jumps on a bicycle. Now, the IMDb trivia page said that this scene was improvised, that originally they wanted to have a car chase, but they didn't have the budget for it. So when Ice-T started chasing Chris Rock, he jumped on a bike and rode off. Clearly, the whatever they did originally, whatever ended up in the film was not improvised because of all the camera shots. Like,
yeah.
I mean, there's a different camera shot for when he goes and jumps on the bike. So clearly it wasn't an improvised scene. So I don't know if that trivia bit is all bullshit or what. But maybe they improvised it the first time and he jumped on a bike and said, hey, you know what? That's pretty good. Let's just do that. And then they shot it for real.
I mean, I believe that they wanted to do a car chase but couldn't afford it. That part
that's believable. But I like this chase, though. Chris Rock's on his bike and Ice-T's on his chase him. And in my younger days, I could have easily caught Chris Rock on a bicycle. But when I was watching this, I was like, yeah, if this happened to me right now today, I'd be like, all right, Chris Rock, see you later, buddy. I am not chasing. That is.
Yeah. He's going down a lot of staircases, too, I noticed.
Yeah, that's the only thing I think that saved Ice-T. Otherwise, if he just had a straight shot, I don't think he could have stayed with him for too long.
I liked it, though. It was an inventive chase. I've never seen this long of a foot chase against a bicycle kind of a situation.
Yeah.
Not really even Gary Coleman could have kept up in this question.
I was going to say, Tom, he really would open up a lot of doors for Gary Coleman if he added a bicycle to his foot chases. This is pretty good. At one point, it looks like Chris Rock falls in front of a subway train there.
But,
he does not. And then Ice-T eventually chases him down. And Ice-T, being the good cop that he is, he still can't chase down a crackhead. So what he does is he just pulls out his gun and shoots at him in the middle of a crowd.
In the ankle.
All game.
Yeah, he hits him in the ankle. And then he jumps on him, and he starts beating on him. And the money goes everywhere, and he's like, he pulls out his, he's telling everybody, stay away, I'm a cop. And, of course, people are still – I like how people are sneaking in still grabbing money and stuff.
Yeah, and they don't give a fuck.
And – but then the real cops show up and – well, Ice-T's a real cop, you know, but the other cops show up. And – but they see Ice-T with a gun over top of somebody and they don't even, like, tell him. They just go in and tackle him.
If Ice-T is doing, like, an undercover drug buy, the other cops would know who he is.
Not necessarily, like, New York City's a big place. So
yeah.
Different Jack City is a big place.
Yeah.
So I'm just glad they didn't shoot Ice-T. That's all I'm trying to say. You know. So Ice-T gets in trouble though. You know, for what does he get in trouble for? I don't know.
Middle of a public park.
I guess, yeah, shoot, opening a fire, I guess. But yeah. He shot Pookie like right in the Achilles.
Yeah.
Because when Pookie was born, right. His mother dipped him in the river Styx, and she helped him. So Pookie's down.
He's got a weakness in his ankles and for crack.
Yeah. Well, do we see Mario Van Peebles yelling at Ice-T, or who's yelling at Ice-T? Someone's yelling at Ice-T. I don't know. It's not Mario Van Peebles.
I think it was. He's always the one yelling at Ice-T, I feel like.
Now we have to, I'm sure we cut back to Nino Brown at this point.
Recruits Ice-T later, and they say, you can't recruit him, he's suspended, or I don't think that yelling at him, but.
But I was a little confused on the timing of events here, because I wasn't paying all that close of attention when this was starting. I was reading trivia notes. But doesn't it, at one point it says it opens up in 1986? And then I thought the chase with Chris Rock happened in 86. But then isn't there like a 5-year jump or something? And
or that could be once they get the drugs.
Yeah. They have the big meeting about what they're going to do with the we're going to take over this apartment complex. And then I think it jumps ahead after that once they kind of laid out the plan.
Okay, because
we have a scene where G Money tells Wesley Snipes, like, hey, we're selling drugs, but what we really need to do is start selling crack cocaine. That'll really boost our sales.
Got to sell the crack. It's great. Get you real high. It's a Mr.
I Four got my joints sucked like 7 times last week.
He had his Jimmy Wax. Jimmy Wax.
Yeah. Jimmy Wax.
So I guess the time jump happens. Because when I was reading up, because when the movie started, I was reading the IMDb stuff and the Wikipedia page and stuff, and they mentioned a 5-year jump. And I guess so the 5-year jump occurs well after the – I was just thinking, like, why – because I thought, wait, he's still suspended 5 years later? Hey, Steve, you know what I mean?
The longest suspension of his life.
When was his suspension in relation to the 5-year jump? Because is he still suspended?
What has he been doing these 5 years? This is the only case he ever worked. So
that's not a suspension if it lasts 5 years. That's a firing. That's a dismissal. That's not a suspension. So I don't know. I'm probably confused on the time events. I don't know. But anyway. All right. So Nino Brown, he wants to sell the crack. He also gets into he's taking over the streets. He's pushing out all the old time bosses. They got G Money, Dada Man, and then A Vanessa Williams. She's like she's a badass. Is that her or no? Is she the other one?
Yeah, that's her. She's the henchman.
Yeah, she's the one. Like, she just walks up and shoots a dude in the head.
A drug dealer in the head or whatever.
Yeah, don't fuck with her.
They also have a meeting with, I guess, the Italian mob used to supply them drugs, and they tell them, no, we don't need you anymore. We're good.
Yeah. We got this new stuff.
So this is a lot like Shaft in a way, because like Shaft, you had the old white Italian gangsters getting into it with Bumpy Jonas and his crew, and then Shaft was in the middle, you know. So this is a similar situation, the old time, like Godfather kind of gangsters getting in with the new jacks, you know.
Yep. So,
yeah. And when do they, cause there's fast talking, white Italian guy with a ponytail, and he's always making fun of Nino. And then they go to his office, and he gives him like a lawn jockey as a gift.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Like a noose around its neck.
And Nino cracks him over the head with it and cuts off his ponytail.
Furio.
I just think, hey, you know, he comes into you and he insults you like that. He doesn't leave that office. That's my, if I'm running the that's what I'm doing, Tuffy. He's dead.
But you let Ava Vanessa Williams take him out.
Yeah. But they let those guys go, and then later they try to kill him at like a wedding or something. I don't know. There's a lot. Oh, we're jumping all over the place. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, the movie does a little bit of that too, so.
Yeah, now Chris Rock is a crack addict.
Yeah, he's way into the crack. Get you real high. And Nino Brown's like a champion to the locals, though. Like, he's giving out food on Thanksgiving. He's giving out food to everybody. And Pookie comes up looking like a crack addict. You know, he looks like a crack addict. Yeah. And he's like, "What?" Well, he has a line here that's pretty good. What do you remember what he says here? He says he looks like something, and it was pretty good, and I can't remember. But anyway, but he tells Pookie, "Hey, clean yourself up. Maybe I'll give you a job, Pookie." And then he gives him a turkey. And then as soon as he gives Pookie a turkey,
with a belt around it.
Wait, what's that?
Chris Rock says to somebody, "You look like a boiled yam with a belt around it."
Well, that's not the line. But he gives Pookie a turkey, and as soon as Pookie gets the turkey, he turns around and goes, "Hey, you want to buy a turkey?" He tries to set the turkey for crap. So that was pretty good. Also, we need to talk about Wesley Snipes' haircut in this movie. He's got like the high top afro look, but in the middle there's a shark fin, right in the middle.
Yeah.
That's an odd choice. Great. Nino Brown. All right. I don't know. Yeah. So now Nino's got control of the city. He's running the apartment complex. He's making all the drugs in there. And they
have parties with Flavor Flav as the DJ.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Flavor. Fast Five Freddy was one of the executive producers of this movie, I believe, right?
Nice.
I saw in the credits. But what else is going on here? At some point, Mary Van Peebles says, "All right, this crack is getting out of control because it's cracking it gets real high. So we need a special task force." So he needs some new jack cops for New Jack City. And they call in Ice-T, who is still suspended 5 years later. I don't know. So they go get Ice-T. They
We're gonna hook you up with this new Cracker Jack cop, Judd Nelson, and his fancy goatee.
Well, Judd Nelson is also in trouble for something, right? Didn't he almost get his partner killed for doing something? Or
yeah,
I can't even remember. We should ask Larry. He probably has a tattooed on his thigh. But yeah, Judd Nelson is also on the out. So they get these two rogue cops and they put them together, and they're going to bring
Nelson
down.
Kind of looks like a weird beatnik the whole time.
He's still wearing the same boots as Bender in Breakfast Club.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That was weird.
It should have ended with him doing a freeze frame, like going down the stairs. The fist up.
So, they put them together in a little task force, and Ice-T does not like Judd Nelson, and Judd Nelson does not like Ice-T.
No. These two will never get along.
Although we really don't know, because Judd Nelson has like one line in the first hour of the movie. He says one thing.
Yeah, I think he says it twice, though. Like, every time somebody says something about like crack, he's like, "Oh, it's some kind of black thing."
Oh. So eventually they get Pookie. They recruit Pookie to, because they need someone to get inside of the Nino Brown operation. So Ice-T says, "Hey, I know that guy. He punched me in the belly and made me his bitch. I'm going to go get Pookie."
I think Ice-T also
got him the ankle. This will be a great partnership.
Well, is that Tuffy?
I think Ice-T also feels bad that Chris Rock is a crackhead because he helps give him to rehab, too.
Yeah, well, they have to clean him up before he can work for him. So what do they do? Ice-T takes him to his own house. And they're this is a great montage. This is like a Rocky IV montage. Of Pookie beating the rock. He's sweating it out. He's riding the exercise bike.
He's chasing a chicken.
Yeah, I'm going to mark that down for best.
The chicken has some crack under its wing.
Best scene, Pookie beating crack. It's ridiculous.
And then, he rides his bike up a mountain and then just yells, "Crack!"
So then after like 5 minutes of this, he's all cleaning up. You know, and we can tell he's clean because he's wearing a baseball cap now. And he's sitting there. He's telling everybody, yeah, I'm clean now. And they're like, all right, Pookie, you're going to go undercover for us. You're going to get a job at Nino Brown's operation there. And we're going to have you wired up and everything. All right? And he's got a little camera.
Yeah, they go, here's a secret hidden camera on this belt, and it could not more obviously be a camera.
And every time he talks to
me, we're going to try to get you into a place where most people are naked, so they definitely will never see this wire.
Yeah, that was the other thing. Pookie breaks down the operation for them, and he tells them how it works. Like, you go in, you have to have a special card. They let you in. They scan it and everything. They have all, it's like a computer. It's like a top flight corporation, but there's guys with guns everywhere. And then they take you in, you can buy your crack, and then you can go to a room they call the Enterprise. And you go in there and you can just smoke your crack there. And they go, why do they call it the Enterprise? Cause when you smoke crack, it's like Scotty's beaming you up.
Yeah.
You high. So
yeah, I'm going to go try some crack now.
And then, Pookie says there's a room where they make the crack. And everyone's naked in there, titties flopping everywhere. And that was a direct quote. I'm not improvising. And then, but then they show the room, and they're not like topless, sure, but they're wearing pants and stuff.
Did you have like weird white scrub pants on?
I thought they were wearing collars.
Oh, either way, that's not naked. So anyway. And then when Pookie gets a job in there, he's completely clothed.
Yep. You don't stick out at all.
He has like an undershirt.
Wearing like a dress shirt. Yeah.
Slacks. And a belt with a giant camera on the belt buckle.
And a headset. So I guess he's like working the drive through at the Enterprise here. People just call in, hey, I'd like a number 4 crack special.
And we see a scene, though, of Pookie, now that he's working around this crack, because that is a flawless plan that Ice-T had. Let's take a crack addict and put him undercover where he works with crack. That'll work.
I don't see how this could possibly fail.
Yeah, so Pookie, you know, he's they show a scene of Pookie at home, and he's about to light up the glass dick. That's what they call it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Take a hit off that glass dick. And but he pushes it aside. No, he's going to stay true to sober and everything. But then he's back at the counting the crack rocks, and you can tell, he's getting the itch. He's getting the itch.
Yeah. And,
not long after that, there's a scene where he's in his apartment. And Marvin Van Peebles, he does a couple interesting shots in this movie. And this one, man, it's like he really played it up to make Pookie when he hits that first crack hit again. He's like, holy hell, like zoomed out. He did the old Hitchcock where you pull back the camera and zoom in at the same time.
Yeah.
The way he lit the background and everything.
I think this is the push in and zoom out, not the pull back and zoom in.
Either way, he hit that glass dick. And
he sure did.
He got her eye.
Yeah.
And before he even like hit it, he's like thinking about doing it, and he looks super high. Like he looked like his crack self again.
So then he goes into work the next day, and he... Oh, wait, go ahead, Tommy.
Around singing songs. Yeah. Asking, what's up, mate? You got skim milk in them titties or what?
And everyone looks at him. He's like, oh. And Judd Nelson's like, hey, Ice-T, your boy's in trouble there. He's doing something. I think he's all fucked up on crack. That's what he's doing. And he's flapping his arms around. And it's like, hey. So then G Money comes in and says, wait. What are you take the crack home with you? And he starts strip searching him, and he finds the giant wire and camera. And he's like, you 5-0 or whatever. And so they're like, oh, we got it. And then Pookie's like, oh, Ice-T, help me. You got to save me, Ice-T. So the cops, why did they have to keep him in there undercover that long? Like, really, the first day he's there, you got everything you need. Like, why did they have to keep going in there?
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
Because they were hoping to go on camera at some point, because they talk about how Nino was very careful to never
be
operation.
But so they go in there to try and take down the operation, and there's a big gunfight. And I think in this scene, Judd, Nelson saves a little kid or something. Because, again, there are regular families living in this place as well in some of the apartments.
Yep.
So this is, like, the first time Jed Nelson actually does something, like saves a kid.
Showed up. All right.
But, Jack, what becomes of Pookie?
So the cops come across Pookie's dead body and is strapped to a bomb that is, you know, like, set to go off any second now. And so they have to kind of cut the wires, do all that shit. We're like, oh, we're down to 3 seconds, better do something. And they end up stopping it, I guess. But
yeah.
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 Didn't end well for Pookie there.
I've never seen that before in a movie.
Yeah.
Pulled the right wire. How many times do you think that's been done?
179,000.
I mean, this is 1991, so, you know.
This was the scene where I went from, like, yeah, I don't know about this movie, to this movie is awesome.
Right? Yeah, sure. That's right.
I don't know about that. So Pookie's dead.
You know, the cops are all busting in. They're trying to save people. They're trying to find Pookie. And the Cash Money Boys apparently took out all of the financial records on 3.5-inch floppy disks that took down the computer.
So now they got to start over trying to get Nino Brown, and Pookie's dead now, you know? So yeah. I think there's even a scene where they tell Ice-T it's over or whatever, and Ice-T says, it's not over. So what's their plan now, Tuffy?
Well, there was a scene earlier where Nino and G-Money were hanging out with their ladies.
Oh, yeah, we should talk about that.
Yeah, G-Money's lady makes fun of Nino's lady because she can't have kids.
So, all right, yeah, there's a scene before that where they're in the nightclub, and Nino notices G-Money's girl dancing up the bar. And, I mean, she's an attractive lady, but the haircut's not doing her any favors.
I mean, they were watching Scarface together, I thought.
No, when he first sees her, they're in a nightclub, and she's up at the bar, and Nino's looking through the crowd, and he sees her at the bar, and she's, like, dancing, and it's very awkward and unattractive. It is not a sexy dance at all that she's doing.
Turning into that strip club guy from last week's movie.
Does
anybody know what I want?
It could have been an SNL sketch, you know, where like a lady's trying to dance sexy at a bar and it is not attractive at all. That's basically what was happening. But Nino's so into her, and he tells G-Money, he's like, hey, that's your new girl? And he's like, yeah, that's my new girl or whatever. So then, yeah, later they're all watching Scarface at the house.
Yeah.
Nino and his girl. And G-Money and that girl. And that girl just gets up and starts stripping. And she's talking about how Nino Brown deserves a baby. And G-Money's like, I'm right here. Like, why are you talking to him? You're my woman. What are you talking about him for while you're stripping? And Nino Brown's lady can't have kids. So she goes off crying, I guess. And then Nino goes off to, like, console her, I guess. But then they just get in a fight. And then he comes back, and that girl is banging G-Money. She's on top of G-Money. And Nino just stands in the doorway drinking his whiskey, watching them have sex.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what good friends do. You and Larry never did this?
No. No. So... then what happens here? So, yeah, there's that inner conflict going on in the Brown game.
Yeah, Nino's all pissed off because their operation got busted, and he, like, stabs a guy in the hand with his cane sword.
Yes, cane sword. Jank, you got one of them cane swords, don't you?
Oh, sure. Got a different one for every day of the week.
Nino's kind of coming unhinged, feeling the stress of the power, and G-Money feels like he's been cast aside now.
Yeah, and G-Money knows that Nina wants to bang his lady, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and then on the police side, Ice-T and Judd Nelson decide, you know what, we got to go undercover on our own here. We just got to do this ourselves, take down Nino.
We should also mention at some point, Nino's girlfriend, doesn't she have a brother who's a banking executive? And he's Yeah, he's like a classy guy. He's a, you know, normal businessman guy, and he helps them, like, launder the money or whatever and do all that kind of stuff. And at the beginning of the movie, when Ice-T is shooting Pookie and grabbing him in the park.
Oh, yeah, that's who that is.
that guy is there and he sees Ice-T because that comes into play later. So
yeah. So Ice-T and Judd Nelson decide, hey, we're going to pretend that we can be a better hookup for them to get their crack cocaine. So that'll get us in with G Money.
Yeah, we kind of have a heart to heart finally, where Judd Nelson's basically like, you thought I didn't care about Pookie, but I used to be Pookie. Like, I used to be on drugs too and shit. And I cleaned up my act. So then they find some peace between the two of them.
I once had to serve detention with these kids in a library, and it was rough.
I mean, this is where it really clued me in that this is exactly like The Godfather, because we have funeral scene coming up, there's wedding scene, there's all these gang scenes. So they're going undercover now for Ice-T to infiltrate the Cash Money Boys operation.
I just think, you know, after they got burned with Pookie, the Cash Money Boys would really clamp down on newcomers coming into the operation.
Yeah. No more new jacks in this city.
So his judgment's not the best. You got to remember that.
I suppose.
Dino is pretty suspicious of Ice-T to start. I will say that.
Yeah, G Money's the guy that brings him into the fold.
Yeah.
But I guess what wins him over is they're somewhere. Nino Brown's talking to a bunch of kids, and he's giving kids like money and stuff. And the old man comes in, who, you know, he's only 2 years older than me. And that old man comes in and he says, "Hey, why don't you get out? You're ruining, you're killing your own people with them drugs there, you know, Nino Brown." And
get off my lawn.
and he gives him a real talking to. But then I think Dada Man punches him in the kidneys or something. Is it G Money?
The gun, or is that later?
Oh yeah, he does want to kill him in this scene. And I think Ice-T kind of steps in and kind of earns him some favor.
He gets punched in the kidneys and he gets dropped, and then he gets back up and he says that line again about you're killing your people, and then he pulls out a gun. And then Ice-T saves Nino Brown. So yeah, that's what convinces Nino that Ice-T must be a good guy. So.
Yeah, and then for some reason, Judd Nelson breaks into Nino's apartment, I think.
Yeah, I think that's while, the wedding is going on. So he knows they're distracted.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then we have a wedding scene for, I don't even remember who's getting married.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, it wasn't Nina, right? What?
No.
No.
Oh, the reverend, because there's a preacher who's at the table with Nino, and the old man says, "Preacher, what are you doing here? This is embarrassment." Then, the preacher's son is getting married, and I think Nino must be paying for the wedding, I think is the implication. Something like that.
Wait, the old man, he tried to shoot him there?
No.
Another old man.
Table handing out money to kids. There's a reverend. The reverend's there, you know, one of the pillars of the community.
Oh, okay.
And then I think it's the reverend's daughter or the reverend's son is the one getting married, that Nino's probably paying for the wedding, I'm assuming.
Okay. All right. Yeah, but so the Italians, they go disguised as caterers. And they shoot up the wedding. And Nino, there's a little girl.
This is so good.
Like a 3-year-old girl. The human shield.
Yeah, Nino runs away, and then he says, "Oh, shoot, there's still a little girl." So he goes back, grabs the little girl, and then holds her in front of him.
So funny.
But I think they were trying to say that he was trying to save the little girl.
I thought,
oh, he was not.
Go back and save the little girl.
He did not, put his back in front of her and, try to shield her. No. He was holding her up as a human shield.
I know. No, because he was already gone. He didn't have to go back and get her. He went back to get her to save her. But then, I don't know.
Ice-T went to save her. But, yeah, Wesley Snipes.
I think picked her up as a human shield.
Yeah. Nino definitely was using her as a human shield. Because then he eventually gets far enough away that he can, leap over a table. But, that whole time.
Has a moment in this fight where he turns he's going to shoot Nino and then decides, "Nah, I'll keep shooting at the Italians. I don't want to kill me right here.
So anyway, now Nino's pissed off at the Italians, and
hey, Vanessa Williams dies at this part too. She gets killed by the Italians.
See, I don't even remember. All right, so it's all coming to a head here. We got
yeah,
all sorts of stuff. Nino. Well, Nino bangs the girlfriend of what's his face, G Money. And he calls him up, and she answers the phone, and he goes, "I knew you were gonna fuck him." Or what did he say? Or, I don't know. But G Money, like, but he just says, "Hey, put Nino on the phone," and
yeah,
I don't know when that happened.
Because there's a whole scene where like Ice-T and Nino are hanging out in the pool, and Ice-T tells him,
"Oh yeah, with like hot Asian ladies, right?"
Yeah. So it's like he's trying to sow dissension, like he's going to have the Cash Money boys fall apart from the inside. But it can't be more than about 10 minutes later where they're all lined up for, I guess, buying drugs for the first time from Ice-T. And that's when they find out he's a cop.
Yeah.
Because they set up like they're going to turn G-Money and Nino against each other, but that never really pays off.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, the writing.
Yeah, this movie they have a big scene on the roof where it's like, oh, here it is. They're going to go against each other, but no. They just kind of walk away.
So then there's a big drug buy set up, and Ice-T's like orchestrating it. And then that's when Nino's girlfriend's brother...
This is one of the best scenes in most of the movies we've watched lately.
But he recognizes Ice-T, and he says, hey, he's 5'0". And, like, I don't know if... So then all hell breaks loose, you know?
Yeah, then everybody just starts shooting everybody.
And Judd Nelson comes in and shooting, and then they...
Like, drives his car through the building coming in.
Yeah. And it goes on for a while, and they're chasing people through this building and everything. And there's
highlights, like Wesley Snipes doing a Spider-Man move to kill... I forget who he killed. But he like... flips down, upside down, to slice a guy's throat.
Yeah, he's one of the cops we saw. He is like one of the cops we saw earlier in the movie, but he didn't really have a big part. But,
yeah, he's just like a random cop, because you see Wesley Snipes like swing down. He's upside down like Spider-Man going to kiss Mary Jane Parker, except he slices the guy's throat, and then he puts on the police uniform and acts like he's dead. Because then he kills the next guy who comes up to check on the body.
All right, and then my favorite scene in this movie.
Yes.
So Judd Nelson's fighting Da 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 Man on like a catwalk.
Yeah, like the second story catwalk.
Like and, basically the catwalk from the first Batman movie that Jack Napier falls off of.
Yeah, a good 25 to 30 feet at a minimum in the air.
Yeah, and they're fighting and whatnot, and it looks like Da Da Man is getting the upper hand, and then Ice-T snipes him from the down below, and he so Dada Man falls off the catwalk,
like hanging on to Judd Nelson. He's over the edge already. He's hanging off of the catwalk.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. But he gets shot, and he falls, and he hits the ground behind him.
Shot several times and falls a good 30 feet onto concrete.
Yes. And Ice-T is standing there with his back to Dada Man, and he looks up at Judd Nelson, and he just smiles knowingly, like, yeah, I saved your life. And then Judd Nelson just like...
There's no reason to believe that the Dada Man is alive, let alone conscious, after what just happened to him.
Yes. But then, but Judd Nelson's on top of this catwalk, 25 feet in the air or whatever, and he looks up, and he's just like so relieved, he just passes out, like falls backwards, like, ah, oh, I'm still alive. And he falls backwards. And then Ice-T is still standing there, staring up at the catwalk for at least another, what, half hour, it seems? And Dada Man is behind him, slowly reaching for a gun. And he gets to the gun, and he's about to shoot Ice-T in the back. Judd Nelson just screams, no, from the catwalk, and shoots down and kills Dada Man. And Ice-T never even knew anything. And then he looks up at Judd Nelson. They both exchange knowing glances. Like, yeah, I just saved your life. Like, what the fuck? How did Judd Nelson even see that? He's down and out. Like, you know, he's has, this whole thing is so fucking dumb.
No, this is awesome.
It was great. I don't know what you're talking about.
Like, if this was in a dumb movie, like a bad movie, this is great. But if it's supposed to be in an actual movie, this is dumb.
At this point, it's Scream logic. It's a bad movie. Like, they're trying to make a good movie, but this is not a good movie.
That's my point. That's what I'm saying. This is not a good movie.
Like, now, you know, you haven't seen Armageddon. This isn't like The Rock, Armageddon, on air kind of bad movie. Like, this is a big budget, real attempt to make a movie, but they just did so poorly at it that it's a bad movie.
See, I heard it was a good movie coming in. It is not a good movie. It is a bad movie. If I went in knowing it was a bad movie like we normally watch, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is great. But Cenk over here is telling me it's like Oscar worthy. And I'm like, no, it's not Oscar
worthy. I mean, I didn't say that. I think the ad was the one who was like, New Jack City should win the Oscar every year.
I'm like, all right. So, but yeah, that is one of the worst scenes ever. And then I don't know where, how do they? Oh, Ice-T has his big fight with Nino. Then, like a Daredevil Kingpin kind of fight.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's another balcony involved at one point.
Yeah. Yes, they're fighting on a fire escape, and yep. He throws. And Judd Nelson says, "Throw him down, I'll catch him," or whatever. And so Nino Brown goes flying down into a pile of garbage on the street. And then Ice-T just jumps down like he's Spider-Man again. Just yeah. Like, hey, Spider-Man. It's
late. Yeah, before that, because Nino
and garbage
escaped the warehouse. And then Nino just shoots G-Money for betraying him for trying to cut a side deal, I guess.
Yeah, because he, well, after everything went sour, he thought, yeah, you brought Ice-T into the fold here. So you were probably trying to set me up and take over everything, so fuck you. Bang.
Well, he lost his way because he was sucking the glass dick.
Well, we've all been there. So, all right, yeah, so Ice-T and Nino have their big
fight. This is where you clearly see, like, the Scarface parallel start, that they were watching Scarface earlier, and now he's killing his best friend just like in Scarface, and mostly because of a woman.
Yeah. How do they track down Nino? I don't even remember how the fight started. Really,
he's just going around the neighborhood looking for people and just asks some kids on a stoop, and they all say, "We know you're a cop. We're not going to tell you." But there's one kid who says he's up on the sixth floor.
Oh yeah, he's over there.
I hate that guy. Go get him.
That guy's a real jerk. Oh, there's also something we got to mention when Nino and Ice-T were being buddies, becoming chums and pals and whatnot. Nino tells him a story about how when he was moving up in the world, in the gang world, that to get initiated, he had to go get a body. So he just walked up to some middle-aged teacher lady, and just shot her and killed her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had mentioned to Chris Rock earlier that he was like, you owe my mother. A crackhead like you shot her. Didn't steal her jewelry or money or anything. Just shot her.
Uh-huh.
This is so ridiculous. So after the big fight,
this to me is like where the Simpsons, when they have all the baseball players, and like, oh, Steve Sachs, you're from New York, huh? I hear there's a lot of unsolved murders in New York. Where he just goes, wait, you killed a woman, and my mother was a woman, so you must be the one who killed her specifically.
Yeah, Ice-T beats up Nino Brown, throws him in the garbage, jumps down, and he says, and you killed my mother. And I bust out laughing when that line happened. I just couldn't take it.
Yeah. This is also where I quote to start the show was, I want to shoot you so bad my dick's hard.
Yeah, he has the gun out. He's going to shoot Nino Brown even after he beat the fuck out of him. And he's about to kill him. And Mario Van Peebles and Judd Nelson are all around him like, no, don't do it, man. Don't do it. And Judd Nelson comes up behind him like a lover. And he gently caresses him.
Close to him.
and he takes the gun out of Ice-T's hand. He says, don't throw your life away on this piece of shit. And he takes the gun from Ice-T. And then Mario Van Peebles pulls up Wesley Snipes. And then Ice-T sucker punches him one more time. and Nino Brown says, oh, I'll be out in a week. I'll see you later. And so they go to court, and they're having their trial. And sure enough, Nino Brown gets off.
Yeah, well, he's been like a year and then he'll be out with like good pro, you know, good behavior or whatever. So,
so they're interviewing him after the trial there in the courthouse, and he's talking, he's smiling up big, talking to the media or whatever. And, what happens then, Cenk?
Well, here comes that old man who's, you know, about Mike Dell's age. He just shows up and he's like, Nino Brown, they need you in hell or something like that. And, pulls out that gun again, and this time he gets, I see him stopping this time. He shoots him right there in the courthouse. And that's the end of old Nino Brown.
Yeah, he kills Nino Brown.
Yep.
Yeah, he shoots him in the chest. Everyone
else kind of smile. They're like, all right.
Well, no, Ice-T doesn't smile. Ice-T just puts his sunglasses on and turns away and walks off like a badass.
Yeah, Judd Nelson's got a big
CSI Miami move.
Yeah. Hypothetical Horatio. So, yeah, but he shoots Wesley Snipes in the chest, and then Snipes, like, falls over the balcony again, another balcony, and falls all the way down, boom, in the courthouse.
And then we get a, like, a screen full of text that just says, like, this story was fictional, but there are Nino Browns in every city and every nation. So, if we don't stop this soon, things are going to get out of control.
There are terrible actors like Ice-T in every city around the country. If we don't stop them, more movies like this will be made. Please do not give Ice-T another acting role. So, yeah.
What would have been worse, Ice-T or LL Cool J?
I did learn on the trivia that Wesley Snipes wanted to play the Ice-T part.
Oh.
But
we should have done both. That would have been great.
That would have been great. Yeah, like, I mean, when brothers separated at birth.
Awesome in this movie.
Yeah.
That would have been awesome. But I guess Van Peebles said the people that wrote the movie, they wrote Nino Brown for Wesley Snipes. They had him in mind when they wrote the part.
So, he's great.
Yeah, he is the best. He
nailed it.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. Yeah, he's good.
I think that's the main reason I like this movie so much. It's this Wesley Snipes movie that I'd never seen before until a couple of years ago. And I was like, wow, this is great. More Wesley Snipes in my life.
Wesley Snipes and the Old Man are the two best things in this movie.
And Judd Nelson's goatee.
Judd Nelson's just, man. I want to say he's wasted, but because, you know.
Yeah.
Is Judd Nelson the thing to have? But I guess. And he's wasted. If Judd Nelson's a thing, then he's wasted in this. So.
On this podcast I listened to called The Rewatchables, they named a category after this called the Judd Nelson Award for a person who feels like they're in a totally different movie.
Yes. That sums it up beautifully. Yeah, I don't know what he's doing here. I don't know. There are a few naked ladies in this, like the ones making the crack. We see that.
Yeah.
A lot of skim milk titties.
But otherwise, I don't know. I'm not a fan of the new. Again, maybe if I went into this thinking it's a bad movie, I would have enjoyed it. But I went in thinking it's a good movie, and it was like, oh, this is terrible. This is terrible.
No. No. Nope. Nope. Well, wrong on this one.
It's not terrible. It's definitely not terrible.
There's really not an original thought in it. Like, everything's been done in other movies.
That's legit. Yeah, I can...
Like, even the ending, the old man shooting him, that's been done many, 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 many times. The bomb defusing thing, many, 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 many times.
But it's done with a cool 1990s style that I miss in movies.
Yeah,
so
you're just clinging to nostalgia. I'm looking at this as a movie. It's a bad movie. But
yeah.
It feels compared like to awesome when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, I guess if I saw this when I was 16, I'd love it, like Larry, but I didn't. I saw it when I'm an old man.
Saw it when I'm an old man, too, but it feels like the movies I saw when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Well, see, when I was a kid, I was watching movies from the 30s and 40s. This feels nothing like that.
So. There's no Gary Coleman, so.
So there you go.
That would have been a great movie, just Gary Coleman and the Glass Dick.
If Gary Coleman played Ice-T, this movie would be awesome.
Or he would have caught Chris Rock, so the movie would have been totally different. Yeah.
Dudley could have played Chris Rock. Dudley could have been. But
instead of being in a crack house, he could be in a train station.
Willis could have been Pookie, just like in real life.
So, all right, there it is, New Jack City. So how are we grading this, on a good movie scale or a bad movie scale?
I'm going on a bad movie scale. I think it's like an 8.
All right.
Great.
Jank?
Yeah, I might even go 9. I like this style of movie. I like the music. None of this was the music I was listening to back then or anything, but now it's just nostalgic and I love it.
All right. If we're on a good movie scale, this is like a 4 tops, like a normal movie scale. It's a 4. Maybe if it's a bad movie scale, yeah, it is bad. So in that sense, I'll go 8. 8 on a bad movie scale.
It has too many great scenes in it to give it lower than that, I think.
What are the great scenes exactly? Let's recap this.
I think it's hilarious when they're shooting and Nino Brown picks up the 3-year-old kid. The entire warehouse shootout is awesome. The final shootout, Nino and Ice-T, is great. Pretty much everything after like the 45-minute mark. Chris Rock getting high and working in the crack house is awesome. All the stuff where it's like the Cash Money boys are on the rise and dealing with the Italians, those are always hilarious. The raid on the apartment complex when the police come in and they're like checking for 3.5-inch floppy disks in the computer, I thought was fantastic.
that was legit. That was a thing. 91, that's all we had.
You cannot fit a lot on there, though. I remember.
The money and going on like a 2-minute bike/foot chase was awesome.
Yeah, that was good. Like I said, I like that scene. Van Peebles does a couple. There's a shot right out of Dick Tracy where
the directing and the shooting of this movie is interesting for like a bad movie.
There's a shot out of Dick Tracy where he has silhouettes on the wall. That's all we're seeing are silhouettes. And Judd Nelson and Ice-T get G-Money or that Italian guy who they get him to hook him up with G-Money. But
there was that scene where I think it was G-Money was standing like on the court, like the basketball court maybe. And then like somebody had written crack kills on like the pavement and they kind of do a zoom up. It was pretty cool. Yeah. So yeah, I liked a lot of the directing choices.
Yeah, like a 4 or 5, because there's a good effort here. You know, I like what they're doing, but you know, it's not a good movie though. It's like
the writing is atrocious, but the acting and the directing are good.
But if you go into this thinking it's a bad movie and you're just going to have a fun time watching a bad movie, you'll love it. But I went into it with the wrong attitude. I was misinformed by Larry and others who told me it was a great movie. So.
Well, does Larry think it's like a great like cinematic masterpiece? Or is
again, Larry hasn't seen it in 25 years. In his mind, it's a cinematic masterpiece.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a cinematic masterpiece. I'm just saying I enjoy the fuck out of it.
All right. Well, that's true. That's fair. Yeah.
I don't think you can have a bad time watching this movie, although Mike Dell seems to disagree.
That's true.
Again, if I were to ever watch it again and I go in knowing like, oh yeah, I actually went in thinking this was going to be a good movie. And don't do that. Don't make that
mistake. You thought this was the Maltese Falcon of New Jack movies.
Yes. So, all right. There he is. Next week, Pat will be here. If you want to watch that, Kill a Cop thing, I don't think we'll be able to make too many jokes about it. So we'll have to pick another movie as well. So, Oh, whose turn is it, Jank? Is it your turn?
Yes, I think it is. Sadly, Armageddon, I checked, is not streaming anywhere, nor is Blade, which we also need to watch.
Oh, thank Christ.
How have you not seen Armageddon? That movie is incredible. I have probably seen that movie like 60 times.
I have a general rule. If Michael Bay directs something, I don't watch it. That's just a simple rule.
I mean, that was when Michael Bay was less ridiculous. Like, he actually had characters that you could relate to.
More Transformers, it's worth watching a Michael Bay movie.
True.
Yeah. So, all right, Jack will pick a winner. Hey, Tuffy, you know what else I watched this week? Taskmasters. Watch the Taskmasters. If you've been listening to this here fake radio show over the last month or so, Tuffy, all he does is talk Taskmasters. He's on it every week. Oh, I'm watching Taskmasters. What'd you watch this week, Tuffy? Oh, I watched some more Taskmasters. I watched Taskmasters. And so why don't you explain to people what the show is, Tubby?
So it's a British show where they have a panel of five comedians come in. And they're given these obscure tasks to do that are like, there's
are they always comedians, Tuffy? Or I think
entertainers.
TV. Yeah, entertainers. Mostly comedians. Because I think season two, there's a rapper on, right? Wasn't that guy a rapper, they said?
That could be it.
Doc Brown or whatever. But anyway, all right, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, I know one of the later seasons, there's someone who's more of like a TV presenter than a comedian. But yeah, so they give them obscure tasks to do. Like, I always have trouble thinking of what they were. Like, there's one that I remember, one that I watched, I think this week, was, you know, make an egg timer to hard boil an egg. You can't use anything that's a clock or a timing device. You have 10 minutes. Your time starts now, and you have to try and make something that's an egg timer. And then they use your timer to boil an egg and see how well you did. And like, some people, the egg ends up being in the pot for like 30 minutes. Some people it's in for 2 minutes. Trying to make an egg timer.
Yeah. Each show has five tasks. And, who's the guy, who's the taskmaster? Greg Davies, I think his name is.
Yeah.
And he's a very large man. He's a big guy.
Apparently like 6'8".
Yeah. And he sits in like this throne up on stage, and they're in like a theater with an audience and stuff. And, then he has a right hand man named, Alex Horn, I believe.
And yes, the actual creator of the show and advises most of the tasks, I think.
That's what I was going to tell you. I don't know if you know this. You know your taskmasters. But, yeah, he's the guy who came up with the idea. And originally they were doing it like at comedy conventions, like live on stage as a stage show.
Edinburgh Fringe Festival, which is like a month long comedy festival in Edinburgh, Scotland.
So then they made it a TV show, and how many seasons have they had, Tuffy? Like 16 or something?
16, yeah. But that's over like 8 years.
Yeah, because British TV is weird. They do strange things. All right, so each show, though, there's five tasks. And the first task is they introduce the prizes for the show.
Yes.
So, like the other day, they said each contestant had to bring in their most bring in something that was blue. So, or bring in your most valuable thing, or your most valuable document, or your most, whatever, one of those deals. So they bring a personal item from their own lives, and they bring it up, and then they show what it is, they explain why they picked it, and then the taskmaster decides, who won that, and he awards points 1 through 5. You know, you came in last, so you get a 1, you came in first, you get a 5, and boom, you award points. And now we go on to the second task. And whoever wins that show, they get all those prizes at the end of the show. So,
yeah.
Like one episode in season one, a guy put up his wedding ring.
Yeah.
And he lost it.
Yeah.
So that was
The first season or second season, it's like bringing your most valuable item, and one person just brings a blank check.
Yeah, I think that was season two, I want to say. Because I saw that one, so I saw whatever it was, but, yeah. So then the second tasks 2, 3, and 4, they're, recorded. Like they had these comedians do it, ahead of time, and they film everything at a taskmaster house.
Yes.
This little house, and they all do their little things there, and, they film them. Then they come in and they watch them, and they see who was successful and who wasn't. And then the taskmaster decides who was the best and who was the worst. Like, some of them, it's obvious who's best and worst, like they're timed or whatever.
Yeah, some of them are the fastest to do a thing, and some of them are more creative endeavors where it's a judged thing.
And then the fifth task of the night is always live, and it's on stage. Like, they do it in the moment, and it's some goofy thing that they do. And then at the end of the show, whoever has the most points wins. And then at the end of the season, who's ever had the most points after the 6 episodes or 10 episodes or whatever it is, they get a trophy that they won that season of Taskmaster. So there it is.
Seems then it's just a random like karate trophy because they didn't really plan that out.
Yeah. Then the second season, it's a gold bust of the Taskmaster's head.
Because then after the first 5 seasons, they had a Champion of Champions like Christmas special episode. And the prize for that one was the like a cast of his body without the head so that you can put it out.
All right, so I watched season one. I turned on episode one there. These are on YouTube. You can watch them for free on YouTube. Don't buy them because they are also for sale on YouTube, but do not buy them. And I watched episode one, and I put it on, and I was like, eh, I don't know if I like this, because right away I get to feel that it's one of them deals like what was that dopey show with all the comics? They try to improvise jokes. Because it just seemed, it's just going to be five Line comics.
Anyway?
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. That's, it's like one of these great deals. Oh, fuck you. Just one of these deals where these comedians are on stage and they're just trying to put themselves over and do their bits, you know? So I was like, this is going to be terrible. But no, as the show goes on, though, they really compete to try and win these tasks. You know, they get competitive about it. And these tasks are pretty clever. You know, there's funny things they got to do. And it's really, some of them are pretty ingenious, like the solutions to these tasks they come up with. Like, oh, it's pretty good. So, yeah, it's very entertaining.
And how poorly they perform in the tasks.
Yes, that is also a good bit. And some of the people, there's only, I've watched two seasons, there's always four guys and one lady.
That gets switched up. You get more ladies in it the further you go.
Yeah, it's some more ladies.
You know, three ladies and two guys or something like that.
Yeah. But, yeah, I enjoy Tuffy. It's entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Jank, great.
Are you going to watch some Taskmaster, Jank? Are you too busy watching Whose Line Is It Anyway?
I should be. I don't know. Maybe I will. It seems like everybody's doing it now.
Yeah.
Even Pete's been watching it, so.
Everybody.
I might have to.
Oh, Pete's watching it now. How about that?
Yeah, I think so. He was asking me what that show was that you were telling him about. I'm like, yeah. Taskmaster? And like, yep.
Yeah.
Well.
So. And, season two, Tuffy, I really liked because a lot of the tasks involved a potato, it seemed. They're always using potatoes.
Nice.
So, yeah, what tasks too in general?
What Wait, what egg? Was that? Oh yeah, egg is that? Yeah, a lot of eggs are involved. So yeah, I recommend Taskmasters. Give it a whirl.
Yeah. Or Taskmaster.
Yeah, I guess if you look for it, it'll be Taskmaster. But I enjoy it. I think that Taskmaster guy, he's funny. But I think Alex Horn's funnier. I think he's the funnier.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, because Greg Davis, like, I didn't realize right away, but he was on the TV show The In-Betweeners also. You ever watched
that? Oh, I've heard of it, never watched it.
He was, like, the headmaster for the school in that or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then when I looked him up on Wikipedia, he apparently also had another show that he wrote and starred in called Man Down, but I've never seen that, so I don't know if that's any good.
Do you remember the first two seasons, Tuffy?
Yeah.
Like, season one, I'm trying to think who is funny on that one. I think I like the older guy the best, that Richard Skinner guy. I think, the older guy. Yeah, he was probably the funniest. He
was great.
Yeah, Keane, he was pretty good. Season two, I like that Joe Wilkinson fellow, that guy with the beard.
And, John Richardson were good on that. Who's the other, like, youngish guy, I guess.
Is he the short guy?
Yeah. They're on. I'm also seeing clips of 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown, another British.
I just found out about that show called 8 out of 10 Cats, and I'm like, this show sounds awesome.
Yeah. Because he was one of, like, the consistent panelists on that show, I think, too.
But then I found out it doesn't involve cats.
No, it doesn't. No.
And then I was a little sad.
Yeah.
Crestfallen.
Yeah. Like, I'm into season 9 now, and there has not been a bad season, I can say.
Wow, look at you.
They're all great.
Yeah, like a couple other tasks. Like the other day, they had to get a cat out of a tree as a stuffed cat, but it was really high up in a tree, and they had to figure out a way to do it. And then sometimes they have to, like, make little videos or movies. They had to make a stop-action movie featuring a potato.
And
they're potatoes.
Sometimes there are team competitions where they divide up a team of two and a team of three. And what else? I don't know, but they're all fun, goofy little tasks. And,
it's a good show you don't have to think about while you're watching it kind of thing.
I like how the prizes are things they bring in from home. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, because the prizes get less interesting as you go, because, like, the first two seasons, people were serious about it, I think, like the guy bringing in his wedding ring.
Oh, yeah.
And then as you go, the categories get a little more obscure, and the prizes are more just, like, bit that they bring in as a joke, but...
Yeah. The guy with the beard, I liked, whatever his fucking name is. Yeah, I think that's what it was. But they had bring in something blue, and he brought in, like, some erotic fiction. He thought he meant, like, something dirty. That's pretty good. And then they read a passage from it, too, and that was pretty cool. Awesome. Yeah. And he's like, oh, that's
erotic that you've gotten all week.
Yeah, I recommend it. Give it a whirl, Jank.
Yeah, all right. I forget what the task was. It was like you have to call someone and tell them a lie and then call them back and tell them the truth. And the one female contestant calls her sister and says, hey, I just heard from some people back home, because she's Canadian, but, you know, lives in England. Like, I just heard from people back home. They saw your fiance and he was out at the bar making out with somebody.
What?
Uh-oh. They just ruined her marriage.
Yeah.
But that's very funny how that plays out.
Yeah.
Master Jake. Great.
I'll probably be starting season 3 here tonight after the show.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep. Yeah. What about you, Jank? What have you been watching?
Let's see. A couple things. I forgot last week that I had watched the new season of Clone High.
Oh, is that cartoon you like?
Yeah. They just they finally brought it back after like 23 years now. They've already done a second season within a couple of months of that last season. And once again, they're like ending it on a cliffhanger. It's like, I don't know how many of these you're going to get, man. Why do you keep tempting fate like this? just call it quits already. But yeah, it was okay. Still not as strong as that first season was back in like 2001 or whatever it was. It's all right is what I'll say about that. Today I did what Dick Belsky could not do, and I watched Oppenheimer.
Yeah, so Peacock sent me an email today about Oppenheimer. Like, oh, Oppenheimer.
Yeah. Made it through all 3 hours.
Wow. What'd you think?
I mean, I can definitely see what he's saying. It's maybe not the most dynamic of films. Doesn't move at a fast clip or anything like that. There's good performances. A lot of people are in this movie. Like, seems like, everybody you've ever heard of in this movie from the last couple of years.
Is it Florence Pugh topless?
Yeah, a couple of times. There you go. Yeah. Like, most of her scenes, I think, are topless.
It was in her contract.
Yeah. Oh, man. But yeah, it's strange. I've heard people make jokes about the score and how, like, overpowering it is. And turns out they're not wrong. Like, it's overpowering. Like, there are scenes of people talking, and, like, you can barely hear it because the score is so loud.
Wow.
And it's like, do you want us to know what's going on here or not? Like, what are you doing?
That seems like a rare misstep in a large movie, that they would do that.
Yeah, but that also feels like a Christopher Nolan thing.
But it's never been like this. Like, I've The Dark Knight, I never remember being like, what did they say? What did Batman just say?
Yeah.
This was just kind of like, and this is mostly talking. Like, it's not a very action-y film, so it's just a lot of people talking in boardrooms, but you can't really make it out a lot of the time. And the story kind of jumps around so much that it's like, all right, I mean, there's interesting parts to this, but I don't know if it's being told in the most efficient way. So I don't know. Overall, it was, I guess it's good. I'll give it a,
it's not the best movie of the century. Cause that's what I've heard it billed as, the best movie of the century.
No, I heard somebody on some podcast saying their friend watched it like 6 times already. I'm like, why would you do that to yourself?
Yeah.
Like,
that's a red flag. If someone's watching Oppenheimer more than once. That's all right.
like, honestly, I mean, I feel like it didn't even go into a lot of things that would have been more interesting. Like, they didn't really get into exactly how they made the bomb, like how they figured out, like the you know, splicing these atoms and stuff like that. Like, they didn't really get into any of that stuff. So it's like, all right, or any of the mechanics, any of the stuff that you'd think you'd want to know. So I don't know. it was a movie. I'll give it that much. Robert Downey Jr. was pretty solid. Like he was kind of doing a voice a little bit. Like it didn't sound like his normal, you know, Robert Downey Jr. And, he had like a receding hairline. So it was very, I don't think did the Peter Campbell move where they just kept shaving it higher and higher every season. But, yeah, it was something.
So yeah. What do you say? One out of 10?
Because Scorned came out in this century.
Yeah.
No Billy Zane, sadly. I'll give it like a 3, I guess.
Out of 10?
Oh, out of 10. I thought you were going out of 5.
I was going to say, holy hell, you hate it. I like New Jack City more than you like Oppenheimer.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would watch New Jack City before I watch Oppenheimer again, that's for sure.
So like a 6 out of 10 then, if we do the math?
Yeah, 6 or 7 out of 10. Somewhere around there. Yeah, it's all right. It's nowhere near my favorite Christopher Nolan film, that's for sure. I mean, it's probably down there near the bottom with, like, Interstellar.
I've never seen Interstellar. I've heard good things, God, though.
Terrible.
I've
heard it's, no,
really?
People like it, but the ending was so dumb.
Huh. Did Judd Nelson just sit up and scream no and then shoot somebody?
I wish. What else have I been watching? You know, I'm so desperate for shows. I started watching Yellowstone a little bit.
Oh, okay. Everyone loves Yellowstone. It's so good. It's like the greatest.
All I've ever heard is, oh my God, it's so awesome.
Yeah.
And it's okay. It's, it hasn't fully sucked me in yet, but it's interesting enough. I guess it was made by that Taylor Sheridan guy. Who did a lot of those movies I like Hell or High Water and
Wind River. That was okay. That movie was okay. I remember watching that when I was. I mean, I was probably a little underwhelmed, but it was good. It was good.
Yeah, solid. So it's got that same kind of feel, kind of like a modern day Western feel, and it's pretty good.
Mike Dell, if you want bad writing, watch Yellowstone because that show is terrible.
Yeah, there's a child actor on here that I just want to punch in the face. Like, he is so terrible.
Oh, is it Walt Jr.?
Use him as a human shield, for sure.
Is it Walt Jr.?
No. Sadly, no. I think he's probably an adult by now.
I know my sister watches Yellowstone, and she loves it. But,
yeah.
People love that show, and it is like a bad soap opera level writing.
That sounds, that sums it up. Not good soap opera like Twin Peaks, but
yeah, Tuffy, did you finish Twin Peaks? Did we talk about that?
Well, speaking of No Billy Zane, I watched parts 8 through 16.
Oh, you're getting real close now.
Yes, because I got 2 episodes left.
2 episodes left. 8
was a struggle, I'll tell you that.
Is that the one that was back in the 50s or whatever with all that?
Yeah, I guess that's part of what happens in that episode. God only fucking knows.
Yeah, it's a trip. You just got to go along for the ride on that one.
Yeah, I didn't know about that
one. Do you know who that little girl was at the end who, like, the frog moth thing flew into her mouth?
Am I supposed to know who that is?
Well... is it that like Laura? Wait, someone's mom, right? And it's
It's Laura Palmer's mom.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, is that why she put her face off and bite a guy's throat later in the season?
Yeah. Essentially, that's it. Yeah, they confirmed that in one of those Twin Peaks books. Like, I think they kind of hinted at it during the show, but then like the Secret History of Twin Peaks or whatever, one of those books confirms it.
I'll tell you that.
Wait, what was that, Tubby?
I did not pick up on that hint if there was a hint in the show about that.
Yeah.
No, I think it's, I definitely think it's in there because I remember that, like, it was her mom, but, I forget so much. I gotta really go back and watch that season again. I forget so much.
Yeah. This season is better than the first two. I'll say that. This season is fantastic. Oh,
what?
Yeah, I can't get enough.
I mean,
that's
I struggle.
Crazy first, talk. All right.
Laura Dern plays Diane, and I really don't like Laura Dern just because of The Last Jedi.
But, yeah, she's got weird colored hair in here too, kind of like, yeah, like Last Jedi.
But I really turned on her when she's in, I think, the police station. She goes, "Can I smoke in here?" And the cop goes, "No." And she goes, "I'm going to smoke anyways." And it's like, oh, you know what? I like Laura Dern. This
baby face turn. Laura Dern.
Yep.
Set up a dart.
Yeah, and then I've gotten to like the Audrey and Charlie scenes that are very weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God, those are so weird.
Wait. So if I'm remembering properly, isn't Audrey like in a mental institution? Is that how it ends? Or
that could be that. I don't know how.
Yeah,
it ends.
Like
I've seen her and Charlie talking about going to find Billy. I don't know who the fuck Billy is, or if I'm supposed to know who Billy is. There's other people who talk about Billy, I think, but
yeah. Yeah, they keep mentioning that. I forget what that's all supposed to mean.
Roadhouse. I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, everybody's acting weird.
I seem to recall like those little closing scenes at the Roadhouse, like they all make sense if you pay attention, I think. But I can't remember why or how. But yeah.
I think it was part 15. The guy with the green glove comes into play, and he's great. I loved him.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, the guy's like a big hand or something? Is that what we're dealing with?
He's got a gardening glove on because he had some connection to, I don't know if it's the Black Lodge or what, but he says he was out drinking one night, and he went down an alley, and there was like a big, you know, tunnel hole in the sky, and the fireman told him to go to the hardware store down the street, and there's going to be packs of gardening gloves, and one of the packs will be open and only have one glove in it, and he needs to buy that glove. So he tries to buy the glove, and the clerk won't sell it to him, and he tries to buy it, and the clerk won't sell it to him, and then he goes out, puts the glove on, and all of a sudden his hand is like a pile driver, and he can't take the glove off or he'll start bleeding.
That's so fucked up. That's awesome.
I was disappointed when James was the musical act one night at the Roadhouse.
Like, yeah.
This.
Nobody likes that.
But that came back around because this guy, I guess, works with James in Twin Peaks, and they go to a bar, and James is getting his ass beat because he was trying to talk to some guy's wife, and the guy with the glove on his hand just, like, punches those two guys in the face and doesn't quite kill them, but I think they're in intensive care is what they say when they put him into jail.
Don't they go like flying away or something? Or like they just, he really hits them and they give like a superhero punch or something?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's like a sound effect for punches too, and it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, when Andy and Hawk and Bobby and Sheriff Truman go out to the woods, and Andy goes to the Black Lodge and sees visions and shit, and that was interesting.
Yeah. And I remember, wasn't there a scene where a guy in the jail cell and his mouth's just open and he's moaning and stuff? Do you remember that?
Yeah, because they arrest Chad, one of the other deputies, because he was, selling drugs or helping Richard or something? I don't remember what he did.
Man,
there was somebody like leaking stuff out of their face or something, right? Like somebody.
Yeah, because Andy brings back the lady from the woods. And she's just making noises, and then the drunk guy who's bleeding from his face just keeps making the noise the same as her. And then Chad's just telling him to shut up the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because then they bring James and the glove guy in later, a couple episodes later, and they're stuck in the jail cell now.
Yeah, they're maneuvering a lot of pieces there to be all in the jail cell.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Dougie Jones, everybody loves Dougie Jones because he helped get the Mitchum brothers their $30 million insurance payout and helped solve the fraud that was going on at the insurance company and all that stuff. And Jamie E. really goes to town on Dougie the one night. Even Sonny Jim seems happy.
Yep.
He got a play set or whatever, a swing set.
Jim likes him.
Yeah. Yeah, they take him out to the desert because they're going to kill Dougie because they think he's the one, he's screwing him over. Then Jim Belushi said, Dougie goes and buys a cherry pie before he goes out. And Jim Belushi says, I had a dream last night. This all happened. If there's one thing in that box, we can't kill this guy. And they go over and he's got the cherry pie, so they can't kill Dougie.
Can't kill Dougie.
Yeah, one night Dougie's just sitting at the kitchen table eating his chocolate cake, and he just goes and sticks a fork in an electrical socket.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because then the last episode I watched, he wakes up and Cooper's all the way back now.
Yeah. He's
eats. Hey, you can watch Twin Peaks: The Return season one on Paramount Plus.
Hey, yeah. I got that now.
Yeah, it's not something to say. Paramount and Peacock might be merging, I guess.
Oh.
They should all just merge.
Yeah.
Streaming services.
Yeah, and then because Diane has been hanging out with Gordon and Albert and Tammy.
Yeah. Gordon's great in this season. He's got some really good lines, I remember.
Also, Albert goes up to Gordon's room one night, and Gordon just has some French ladies banging, I guess.
Oh, doesn't he have a dream about Monica Bellucci? Is that right?
That's separate, yeah.
We live in a dream.
Tell him something. And Gordon's just hanging out in his room with some lady speaking French. And Gordon tells her, like, hey, why don't you go downstairs? And this lady just, like, starts kissing all over Gordon. And Albert's just standing there waiting for her to leave. Real awkward, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, then later he has a dream about Monica Bellucci or whoever that is. I don't know.
I've had many dreams about Monica Bellucci in my day as well. So, yeah. It's pretty great.
Yeah, and they explain what the blue rose is and what the blue rose cases are and the first blue rose. And they ask Diane the last time she saw Cooper, and she doesn't want to talk about it. And then Cooper takes Richard Horn out because he gets some coordinates. So they go out. Gary Horn's also great in this season, out in the woods, just all high as shit.
Yeah. Look at Tuffy, loving season three of Twin Peaks.
Yeah, there's the one scene where he's out in the woods and his foot starts talking to him, say it's not going to move and stuff. That was very good. I enjoyed that.
You know what I did not enjoy about that season was the one Michael Cera scene. You remember that?
That was terrible.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
Andy's like kid.
Talking to the list.
Back. Uh-huh.
Trying to do a Marlon Brando wild one thing. Yeah.
Yeah, he came back. He heard Harry Truman was sick, and he just wanted to pay his respects to his godfather.
Yeah,
because now I guess Cooper and Cooper's doppelganger are going to have some kind of face-off, I presume, in the last two episodes. They're both heading towards Twin Peaks now.
Yeah. Get ready. The last two episodes, if you thought everything else was weird enough, it's going to get weirder.
Yeah, I mean, I think I just like weird shows.
Yeah. Well, this will hit the spot.
I remember, there was that show on HBO, The Young Pope, that was also very, very weird, and I really liked that show.
The Young Pope.
I feel like that doesn't sound like it would be that weird. But
yeah, but he was a young pope. He was, like, smoking darts and banging people, right? That's what The Young Pope was.
Yeah. Because I forget who the director was on that, but I think he does weird stuff too. Paolo Sorrentino was the writer director. I think he makes weird stuff.
Was it Jude Law? Was he the young pope?
Yes. Yep.
All right. So yeah, Toffee. Good luck with the Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of the Paramount Plus, there, I realized that now I can finally keep watching Cheers. As I
believe
yesterday.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I can finally finish it off, I hope. I'm still in season five. I think I'm near the end.
Okay.
It feels like Diane's not there a lot of the time, so they clearly.
Have you seen the episode where she wants to be a ballerina?
Yes. Yeah.
I love that episode. The ending of that is so great. When he sends Frasier out to tell her on the stage. Oh, I fucking love that. And then such a good ending. Yeah.
Yeah, that was back when it was on Hulu or whatever. I was watching it before, but yeah. Yeah. So I think I'm getting towards the end of Diane here.
Yep.
And ready for Rebecca.
Yeah, it's like two different shows, man. Because then after that, like the Rebecca seasons are really good, but they're a little zanier, a little more sitcom-y.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good too. You know, it depends what mood you're in, but
I can see that. Yeah, you don't have that like romance subplot to eat up the half hour.
Yeah, because so there were like early episodes of Cheers, like really well written in terms of a character and everything. And then it becomes more like a sitcom as it goes along. But so, all right. So
Frasier and Lilith, though, and I enjoy them.
Oh, Lilith is great when she first comes on there. Dude, Baby New Earth is great.
So good.
I like the one where she moves in.
Yeah, I just saw that one. Yeah.
Fossil cues, people of opposite sex sharing living quarters. For fossil cues.
Dip.
Yeah. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yep. That was a good one.
Look what you're missing on Cheers, Tuffy. Come on. We didn't steer you wrong with Twin Peaks.
Yeah, I've seen Cheers, though. I know it's a good show. I've seen, you know, a fair amount of episodes of it.
Yeah.
I don't need to get Paramount Plus just to watch Cheers. I know that. Also, you'd watch Cheers because Frasier is a better show, so I would just watch Frasier.
Not in a million years is Frasier a better show.
Frasier is definitely a better show than Cheers.
No. Under no objection, no measure is Frasier better than Cheers. None. Zero.
Frasier is so good.
No.
No way Cheers is better than Frasier.
Frasier is a good show, but it is nowhere near as good as Cheers. No circumstance.
Nope.
So, all right. What else? Hey, the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
That was last night.
That was the other thing I watched on Paramount Plus.
Fucking Chiefs. Super Bowl. The second half, Tuffy, they intercept Patrick Mahomes, and when they pissed it away, they did 2 3-and-outs, they tried to throw the ball 6 times. You have Christian McCaffrey. You get that interception, you just start running it down their throat right there. That's what you do.
Gave that game away over and over and over again.
As soon as that happened, I was like, yep, Chiefs are winning this fucking game.
And they didn't know the overtime rules because...
Yeah. Yeah. And that is ridiculous.
They said they want the ball. I sat there and thought, why would you want the ball? Because
you
don't know what you have to do.
But the analytics will tell you that you want to have the ball first so you can get it the third time then, too. But there's not going to be a third time when Patrick Mahomes has the ball.
Yeah.
So it's like...
The only way there's going to be a third time is if the first team gets a touchdown and a 2-point conversion, because otherwise you're going to go for 2 points to win the game if you score a touchdown to tie it.
But they're thinking like they kick a field goal and Kansas City kicks a field goal to send it in the third. You know, but Kansas City is not going to do that. They're going to go for the win.
Because once you go a touchdown wins it, you're going to go for the touchdown every time.
And you're asking your defense to stop Patrick Mahomes. You're giving him 4 downs now every series. He gets 4 downs because they know they have to go. So, yeah, it was a poor decision. Yeah. Poor decision. But,
Yeah. Well, I thought, oh, the Chiefs are screwed. Kansas City or San Fran can run this down.
Third and 4.
On the field, exhaust the defense.
3rd and 4, 2 minutes to go. They get that first down, game's over. And they let that blitzer come in and McDuffie and knock it out. Oh, good Lord. So many. And then that punt goes off the guy's foot.
Critical.
It's just the same thing. We're watching it happen again, Tuffy. This is all the shit that happened with New England, you know? Like, they just get all the fucking breaks, it seems. All the crazy shit.
What about that one guy in the 49ers who was just running out there and he, like, broke his leg or something?
Snapped his Achilles. And he's a very good player. And once he left the game, they started throwing, like, the guy who took a spot got thrown at 9 times and had 9 catches. So, like, it was a big difference in the game, like, once he left.
Wow.
Yeah.
Extra point, very important.
Yes, the block. As soon as that happened, you're like, there's another sign that it's going to fucking go to. And then the funniest thing is that CBS Sports guy who made a joke earlier in the week because everyone says the NFL script, and he says, oh, yeah, the CBS told us it's going to double overtime. First Super Bowl to ever go to double overtime. And they were 3 seconds away from going to double overtime. It's like, that would have been hilarious.
That's pretty great.
Yeah, that the muffed punt, too, where you're watching it live, and it's like, what's that idiot doing trying to get the ball? And they show the replay. It's like, how bad of a luck do you have to have?
hits a guy in a foot on his heel. it's the same thing that happened in New England. They always got every fucking break and every call, and it's just like, here we go. Same
fucking thing. Yeah, but I don't. Everybody hates the Chiefs. I don't hate the Chiefs yet.
And then Patrick Mahomes. I'll give him this, the Patrick Mahomes. A couple of weeks ago, it came out. There's a picture of him on, he's built like the most unathletic person you've ever seen.
Yeah.
I am, and he's no doubt, I feel better than Patrick Mahomes as a shut in, middle aged shut in. His body looks like mashed potatoes. It is not good.
He looks like Bill Cobb.
He does not look, so it's pretty impressive that he can do all this looking like that. He takes his shirt off and he looks like that. And he's still doing this, so get on him.
Well, he learned how to run from Gary Coleman, so.
Yes. But, yeah, there's fucking Chiefs. Although, as soon as that happened, I went in and I had another dollar in my FanDuel account. So as soon as all this stuff was happening, I'm like, yeah, I'm putting another dollar on the Chiefs to win. So I made out pretty big on the Super Bowl. I went away with about $4 in my pocket. So.
Ooh. I actually ended up throwing $10 to FanDuel.
Oh.
I was put on this like same game parlay. I'm like, ooh, I'll try this out. Why not?
Uh oh.
So it was a four leg thing.
Four leg parlay, $10?
If fucking Kelsey had caught a touchdown at any point, okay, I would have won. Oh, but they never.
Yeah,
fucking...
see, that's the problem with the parlays. Always hit 3 out of 4, 4 out of 5, whatever the number is you need, you're one less. That's the way it always works out.
Fucking sucks.
Yeah, Kelsey, one catch in the first half there, and he was shaking up Andy Reid, grabbing him, shaking him around. And then he
was shaking it off.
And he had a good second half, though.
No. That,
that's the other thing, Tuffy. I'm guessing defense is harder than it looks, but I don't know. If I'm playing the Chiefs, Travis Kelsey's not catching a fucking pass. I'm making that damn sure. I'm putting a guy right on the line, and then I'm jamming him at the line, and then I'm putting a guy right on top of him after that. I just don't get it.
Patriots had Randy Moss and Gronkowski. It's like, you can double and triple team those guys, and you still might not stop them.
But it's like they don't double team Travis Kelsey. They just let him run around. It's like, oh, okay. Don't you have to put like a linebacker on right at the line, and then you put a guy over top of him and just beat the fuck out of him at the line of scrimmage? No? I mean, that's
the first half. San Francisco's coverage was good enough that Mahomes just couldn't get the ball to anybody, and Kansas City must have just adjusted at halftime to figure out, like, oh, this is what they're doing, so here's where the openings are. And
yeah, the longer that game went, the more obvious the difference in coaching was, right? Like, it just, it's like, oh, here we go. It's just, yeah, so. Oh, well, anyway, hey, the Bears next season, though, Tuffy, right? The Bears?
Yeah. Still got to find out if we're drafting a quarterback or keeping Justin Fields or what they're doing.
Lots of rumors that he's coming to Pittsburgh, Tuffy.
Yeah.
Lucky you.
Justin Fields going. I'd love it. Bring Justin Fields here.
I would not. I don't want him to leave.
Oh, really? How about that?
Yeah, because they're going to draft some other rookie, and the Bears don't know how to evaluate quarterbacks, so he's not going to be good.
Yeah, we talked about this a while back, and I think we both were saying they should just keep Fields and build a better team around him, and then if Fields still sucks, then you can try and get another quarterback somehow. Because, like, if you don't, because the team still has a couple flaws, and then if you bring in a rookie quarterback, and what if he sucks? Then you fucked your thing up again, you know?
So. Another 5 years or whatever.
Because everyone's saying this Caleb Williams, but I don't know. Is he really that good? He seems like a dick. All these stories I'm hearing about Caleb Williams, he seems like kind of a jerk. So, I don't know. Oh, well. Good luck with that, Tuffy.
I'm sure the Bears will fuck it up, so I'm not worried about it.
Hey, we're still thinking about doing a fantasy baseball season, you know? I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Because baseball, apparently, pitchers and catchers reported, I believe, right? And
I did see that, yeah.
Would you do fantasy baseball, Tuffy?
Yeah, I don't know who anybody is anymore, but yeah.
Neither do I and Larry. We have no idea. I haven't watched baseball in 8 or 9 years. Jank, would you want in on a fantasy baseball season?
Tempting as that is, I think I'll probably pass. All right. All right.
Well, we'll see. I'll look at it more this weekend. But we would keep it very simple, probably. Like, just 9 starting hitters, and then just the positions, and that's it. No, like, extra guys or anything.
rotisserie or like head to head?
Probably head to head. I love rotisserie. I've never lost to rotisserie fantasy baseball, but apparently Larry and everyone else likes head to head, so we probably do head to head.
That's dumb, but all right.
Yeah, I like rotisserie because you can manage the shit out of a rotisserie league.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We'll see. All right, I'll keep you posted, Tuffy. Hey, the wrestling world. When's Elimination Chamber? Next weekend?
Next Saturday at 5 a.m. for you.
Oh, that's fine. I'm still up.
Yeah.
That's cool. I think, aren't they in Riyadh right now? At least some people are.
Salt Lake City right now for SmackDown tonight.
I saw like Natty and Chelsea Green are in Riyadh. Are they putting on an event over there?
They could be doing like just a PR thing maybe.
Oh, I think it's that WWE Experience thing they got going on in Riyadh. Like they made this big like thing. Yeah.
The travel for this week for like the main shows were like they were on the East Coast, I think last Monday. And now they've just been moving west because they got to fly to Australia after Raw, I think.
Hey, got some bad news in the injury front. Shotzi blew out her knee.
Eh. That's fine.
She was going down to NXT to fight Lyra Valkyria for the NXT title, and I guess she tore her ACL or something in the match. And I think Nikita Lyons also hurt her knee again. She just came back, and she's out again. So that's not good.
Yeah, Shotzi, I'm fine.
Shotzi's not a great wrestler, but she's a good personality, you know? She's a good personality to have around. But, I think she'd be good at like a hosting situation or something, but,
even then, cause I just think of that one promo where she was going nuts with like Charlotte and Becky in the ring or whatever. And she was just on the show from everybody else.
Yeah. So, all right. What else we got going on in the WWE? Rock and the Roman were going to be on SmackDown tonight, right? That was the big thing. what else? I got Judgment Day Finn Balor on Champion Stuffy.
Ooh, yeah.
I pulled him out of a bag. 3-star bronze out of one of them bags.
I got him at 6-star silver, I think.
Oh, so he must be good?
Yeah.
Not bad. Yeah, I got that Mutant Finn Balor 6-star silver. He's my only silver guy. And then I just realized today I'm just coins away from – I could pick Hall of Fame Nikki Bella up to 7-star silver. It'd be nice to have another 7-star there.
Good. Yeah.
Or 6-star, whatever, silver, whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway. All right, there's your champions update. Jack, what else is going on in your world? Anything of note?
Not really. I mean, that Deadpool 3 trailer from the Super Bowl looks pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty excited about that.
It does look pretty good. And
yeah.
It seems like he's going to save the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Is that what's happening?
Marvel Jesus. Yeah.
And Wolverine.
They're bringing in that whole TVA from the Loki show.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. Tying things together, I guess.
And I saw Marina Baccarin was in the trailer there. She was.
Yeah. I think it looks like he's going to be bopping around the whole Fox verse. Like, I think. Jennifer Garner's supposed to be back as Elektra.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so
I'm a big Jennifer Garner
jokes
guy.
About that. Yeah.
Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah, should be entertaining.
Oh, that made me think of the other.
I think this will be great because I'm just making fun of all of it.
That made me think of the other Elektra, Elodie Young. Remember her?
Yeah, nice.
All right. What else is there? Is that it? I think that's about it, right? So Flea Market Fantasy up there right now is Spider-Man. No one's watching that. What people are watching? Archie did all right in the end, but Spider-Man, not so much. I don't know. I don't get it.
Maybe it'll get a like late week boost at some point.
Let's hope so.
Like Archie did.
No one's fucking watching Spider-Man. All right. And then what did we record yesterday? Shazam. Captain Marvel Shazam. Black Adam.
A scrawny, puny, weak Black Adam.
Yeah. And then next week here on the show, Pat Piccarelli will be here telling all kinds of stories about being a cop in the 70s in New York City, New Jack City. He said, we need a new Jack cop for this new Jack City. Get Pat Piccirilli.
How great would this movie have been if, like, he had played the Ice-T part?
Or if he's Judd Nelson.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. I could see him as Judd Nelson. And the Ed as Ice-T.
Oh, right. That would have been the best movie ever.
Now you got something.
Yep.
All right, yeah, Jack will pick us a movie for next week. And I think that's it. So thanks to Tuffy. Thanks to Jack.
Don't forget the Daytona 500 this weekend.
You just said it, and I already forgot it. So until next week, Pasta Mochichi, Governor Gabby. Yeah, how about that?
Thank you very much.